Now it's starting.
Now we're going.
Hey guys, what's up?
Not much. How are you?
Not much.
Do you guys
Labor
really?
Day.
What? Happy Labor
Happy
Day.
Happy Labor Day. Or Laborous Free Day.
That's right. It's awesome. Oh,
Tim
man.
Put his picture up on his little Skype thing of his beret reading.
I thought that's what he always looked like.
Yeah, it's a good look. What are you reading? What book is that? Book
it's
trivia?
Yeah.
I like trivia.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, to answer your question, I don't know. How am I doing? My room smells like citronella right now.
You're lucky mine smells like cat shit. Well, not cat, it's a cat litter. This is probably the only podcast that's recorded next to cat litter. So,
well, as long as there's no, like, guilt by association on it, I guess it'll work.
Well, if I really have to go, I'll just put it through the spaces in the bar and just let it go, let the pee go. Oh. The pooping, I don't know what would happen, so I wouldn't be able to cover it. So, you know.
Nice. But I got out of the shower earlier today after doing my gym thing, and I stand like 2 seconds just drying off, and all of a sudden it's like bam, 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 bam. I got like 6 mosquito bites on my legs, and I'm just like,
whoa.
Yeah, it's it. I want to think that these mosquitoes are possessed by the devil or something like that. But what?
Say everyone, Satan is good, Satan is up hell.
And
I've been researching this for 2 weeks now.
Well, and I'm going to tell you that I went out. I was in such a hurry. I went out. I got some citronella candles to light indoors, and then I got a nice big old tall beer to help kind of numb myself from the devilish ways.
You know it's bad when you're getting citrus candles for the inside.
Oh,
it's pretty bad, because usually aren't those usually just like outdoor candles, like if you're going to have like a barbecue or something?
Well, the grocery store had one of those honking 3-wick motherfuckers, so like I didn't even have anything cute, like maybe, I don't even know if there is like a Scentsy version of like citronella. It'd be awesome if there was one available. Tim, if you know somebody.
Lemon gas.
So that might be something that would totally help me out. But right now, I got like a shotgun blast of citronella in my office, closed door. So if I pass out later, if I get really quiet, you'll know why.
It would have been better if you would have gotten one of those big old tiki torches. Lit it in the house. Kelly would have come home.
I get you some
goes with my dress skirt.
Some lemongrass scent that tends to keep them away.
Cool.
Wouldn't it be funny if this just like totally degenerated into like a candle and Scentsy podcast? It's all we talk about is like, you know what I like? I like the smell of cotton candy. For 2 hours, we just talked
about it. Now, if that isn't Satan's work, I don't know what it is.
I like a warm cinnamon bun.
Oh.
Warm cinnamon. You know what? Doesn't Cinnabon have one too? Man.
They have a coffee creamer.
Love me some Cinnabon.
They have a coffee creamer. Is pretty decent. So,
to quote The Gate, which hopefully you guys all saw this weekend.
I did. I finished it last night.
And to quote The Gate, I'm just going to say, faggot.
Yeah. Oh my God. No, he just said fag. I wrote notes and I'm going through my notes, and then there's a thing, there's a line that says fag, and then it says fagging off.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
So that's all I got for devil stuff, is I watch The Gate, and, like, I have fucking mosquitoes, and it makes me murder somebody. I could take some time to talk about Dia de los Toadies yesterday and the festival if you guys want, but, it does, I mean, there isn't really that much of a devil theme around it, so.
No, that's fine. I mean, I thought, well, we could just kind of use that, like we said, as a jumping-off point, because... I kind of wanted just to hype a little bit the VHS movie I watched on Friday on the on-demand system. It's, I guess there's not really any devil per se in it, but it's scary. So
close enough.
Yeah, I have. So I didn't bring shit this week. So
I've got what I got here. I've got a couple books. I've got a field guide to demons,
ooh,
and I've also got the complete book of devils and demons. And it's nothing huge, but there's a few pieces about the existence of the devil. And...
So those rabies shots didn't quite take too well, did they?
Not entirely.
Something's not right with Tim. He's sacrificing goats now.
I gotta get another. I gotta get another shot tomorrow. These are actually Rebecca's books.
Well, why does Rebecca? Why does your wife have these books?
Yeah.
Do you know what to say? I'm like,
No.
She
was writing kind of a, what do you call it, like a fantasy themed book.
Oh yeah.
Fairies, and this one book is a field guide to demons, subtitled "Fairies, Fallen Angels, and Other Subversive Spirits."
So Christopher Daniels?
Probably. He's in there. There's a little picture. No.
Yeah. I saw some Ring of Honor. It's very late on Saturday night, so we got home from a concert yesterday.
I heard it's really bad now too, it used to be on HDNet, but I heard it's off of that, and I heard it's not good.
Well, half of the over-the-air channels down here are in Spanish anyway, so it was best what's available at 1 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night.
Was it on a Spanish channel?
No, I wish it was, man. I want to see some AAA. Oh my god! Anyway, no,
I went through where I was watching AAA like every weekend, and it got really bad. And then I don't really watch it anymore.
And what really turned me on to that was when I saw Lightning Bolt and Zorch Wednesday night.
Oh yeah, even the Lucha
drummer mask. And the drummer had a Lucha Libre mask, and now I'm just completely enamored by Lucha Libre masks.
I was at a place in the city yesterday that we had a lot of knockoff hats and sports stuff, but they also had a big rack of Lucha masks. I should have just got.
Well, and what's weird is that, like, I was looking online, and some people are doing custom Lucha masks that are like Green Bay Packers, Iowa Hawkeyes. They're like doing stuff actually for white people up north. I don't get the connection. But if you look at some of the masks, they do look kind of scary and creepy. Like, I'm sure there's one for, like, Satan or the devil, or maybe Goku.
Oh, yeah, there was a guy, there was a monster one, and there was a devil. I can't remember what the devil one was.
Dude, and we're forgetting about Halloween, too.
Halloween the movie or the holiday?
The wrestler, dude, that was on WCW.
Oh, yeah. Halloween, there's Damien 666, too, and Halloween, they were a tag team, and... The best was that in AAA for a while they had this group, and they were with they were with Cybernetico and those guys, and I can't think of what their names, but they were all had like that corpse paint, you know, like the death metal stuff. I've got a lot of this. And they were really good.
And you know what? You don't see those today anymore. Even like in WWE, it's like cleaned up. It's not as nasty. It's not the Attitude Era, and you don't see that. You don't see that anywhere else. It's kind of a shame because they're really dark themed. I'll even go as far as to say Vampiro. You know, even like the dark themed type of wrestling, the really evil looking stuff, isn't around anymore. And I think I kind of miss that because it was genuinely like, especially when I was a kid, it was pretty scary.
Yeah, because I mean, I guess I was a little too old when the. Undertaker and all those guys were like, I mean, because he wasn't scary, but when I was a kid, like,
he went Hellraiser theme,
huh?
He kind of went Hellraiser a little bit with the big.
That was kind of. Yeah. I'm talking about like when he first started, like, yeah, but you're right as far as like the whole
corporate ministry,
and all that stuff. But when we were younger though, too, though, it was
kind me, of, Austin. It was me the whole time.
Oh, that it, boy, you, that was they kind of dropped the ball on that one.
Hello, boys.
Oh god.
balls.
Yeah, speaking of dropping, but I'm actually I just sent you guys a link. I'm trying to find some pictures, like the dark ministry from the Lucha stuff, but they were amazing. Which, by the way, to even further my devil research, I watched I haven't finished it yet, but I watched a documentary on Netflix streaming about black metal. It's really good so far. I had read a book years ago about it. It's about, you know, because in Norway they were burning all those churches, and it's the movie's called Until the Light Takes Us.
Yep, I know what you're talking about.
Have you seen it?
It was on HBO for a little while. I didn't see it yet.
It's really good. I think I have about an hour left of it, but I read the book.
Did we push you over the edge to get Netflix streaming?
Yeah, it's. I should have done it a long time ago.
There's a lot of stuff there.
I don't want to sound like a complainer, but the time I have is like really limited. I don't want to sound like those people like I've got so much going on, but I have it's like, and if I do, like last night, it was like, are you doing research for your program? Like, no, I'm watching a movie about black metal. And then you just kind of get the, you know, that look. It's like, you should be using your time a little bit more constructive. And so
I think that's pretty constructive, but
as do I. I mean, you know, it's
you never know. I mean, right? You gotta know just in case you're in a situation where you have to handle something like that.
Right, right. Because it's important. I mean, as far as like,
well, and I need to take a text of that's the other thing. Yeah, I went out. I was actually kind of in a hurry because I'm one of those people. I'm so busy. I got tons of things to do, and I ran out to get some more chips for this awesome dip I made yesterday, and some beer and some citronella. I'm walking back, and I notice on our neighbors on our front door they have a wreath that's like a welcome wreath, but there's like a raven and a fucking like tarantula on the wreath, and I'm like, what the hell?
Is it for Halloween?
No, well, it's September. I don't know. I'll tell you what. I'll take a picture of it here, and I'll send it to you guys. I might even be able to do it here in a couple seconds. But I was like, what it's the really... fuck? Are you guys being snarky, or are you guys seriously just like the black arts or something?
Mm-hmm. Hey, I dabble in the black arts.
So John.
What was his name?
Arts.
Oh,
Arthur.
Black Arthur.
I dabble in the Black Arthur, if you know what I'm talking about.
I just pictured this guy named Black Arthur, but for some reason he's in a pantsuit.
Black Arthur.
the worst detective ever. He's real smelly. Let's go ahead, sorry.
So
I keep getting distracted. Sorry. Go ahead. What?
So John, you kick some ass on this, man. So you watch this like documentary, and then like.
Yeah.
I saw some of the videos you posted for the YouTube that had the stuff going backwards and stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I remembered. I don't know if you guys remember, but like around 2000, like IFC was kind of starting out as a channel, and they used to show a lot of kind of odd documentaries. Now it's getting kind of crappy. You know, it's kind of like how American Movie Classics used to be good movies, and then it started getting progressively worse and worse, and IFC is kind of like they're starting to show crap. But there was a time when they used to show really interesting documentaries, like even during the day, and they showed that Judas Priest documentary when the kid had shot himself in the face and survived. Do you remember?
Do you know
the story? Should I tell like the story real quickly of like what happened with it to kind of?
Hey, go ahead.
Are you familiar with it, Tim, at all?
Vaguely. I just know the documentary. I don't know enough about the story.
Oh, okay. Well, anyhow, there were these two guys, the usual kind of teenage guys. They were, you know, having problems. They were kind of, you know, considered outcast. And they ended up, like, they decided to make, like, a suicide pact. And so they went to this swing set in this playground. And the first one shot himself. And then the second one kind of balked at the last second. And end up living. So I think it was with a shotgun. It ended up grazing. But so the defense was that Judas Priest had masked hidden instructions in the music. And I think it was in that Better Than You, Better Than Me song. But they were supposed to, where it was supposed to, when you play it backwards, it would say do it. Like over and over. And then that's what's supposed, so that was their argument. And this documentary was fascinating, and then the kid, it was so hard to look at, like the kid who survived. I mean, it was really sad. It was worse than like Eric Roberts looked like in Mask. I mean, it was bad.
You mean Eric Stoltz?
Stoltz, yes. Well, I just wanted to probably just throw Eric Roberts in there because he's kind of been both podcasts that there's been Eric Roberts mentions. Oh, and by the way, I did get Star 80, and I'm gonna send it to one of you guys. I've got gifts for both of you.
Uh-oh.
Things to send in the mail. Good gifts. I mean, not like, you know.
We're talking about the devil and Satanism, and you're gonna be sending us something in the mail. Gotcha.
Yeah. Goat head.
That's the best kind of head there is.
Yes. But so that and we kind of touched on the first episode, but the whole you know, 80s was just crazy, because I don't know if we wanted to put up some links and stuff, but there's some really odd documentaries and stuff in the news, like 2020 in the news lines, because it was there were private investigators that I read about that they specialized in being Satan hunters. And one guy who posted, I'll see if I can find that link mentioned, but he is a Satanist, right? And so he actually said, yeah, this guy came to my high school and bothered me when I was a kid, when I was younger. And it was one of the guys who wrote one of those books. And so that was the big thing in the 80s, was that it was, you know, and I did pull this, like, do you remember how they used to say that names, some of the band's names used to mean things? So here's a couple examples. Kiss supposedly means knights in Satan's service.
I thought that one was kind of like supposed to be that way, like that was part of their marketing.
Because Kiss is kind of the demon, but then there's also the Stark. But
if you listen to their music, I think it's more of just keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah. I was going to say that way. If Gene Simmons saw an opportunity to market that as Knights in Satan's Service, he would.
Yeah.
So
he would probably do that now, his old ass now. If they said, hey, you know, you could make this much more money if you affiliate it, he would probably, well, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And then so AC/DC means Antichrist Devil Child, or After Christ Devil Comes.
And then that's a good late 90s hard rock band right there.
The AC/DC?
No, After Christ Devil Comes. It's like, ladies and gentlemen, Korn, but first, After Christ Devil Comes.
It does kind of sound like an opening band. A band that still does cassettes.
Double like, Clutch Jesus, all right.
Did you say Double Clutch?
Double Clutch Jesus. All the bands sound the same. They're just like, he's like, Monsters of the Dark and Jesus.
Well, it,
and Pound Sand.
But a lot of those metal bands that did, they didn't really say anything like, I don't really remember them attacking like Christianity. They just more were like, they're more like positive, like pledging to the devil, if I remember right. You know, it was like, but, here's the one that was weird to me, because knowing what we know now, Rush was
Rush?
Yeah. And people were saying that Rush meant.
Not Rush Limbaugh, right?
No, well, he is. It said residence under Satan's house. That's what that meant.
God damn. Might as well be the Love Shack.
Mr. Roboto anymore.
You what?
Can't listen to Mr. Roboto anymore.
That's sticks.
That's sticks.
See, never. I can keep those two bands. We know what? They're probably devil too.
Sticks. Oh, well, no. Well, sticks. The river sticks. Yeah. So you could.
Yeah.
Do you remember that great Simpsons episode when they showed the river Styx and it was the same way he was playing and he was screaming and in torture? It was like, no! And then, of course, then there was Wasp, you know, Blackie Lawless and those guys, and theirs was We Are Satan's People, was what that. And
like a band name.
Another retarded acronym, ARA. What kind of bullshit is that? It's like, listen, here. You know, you're probably some big suit, some, like, organization, and you're like, all right, this is really easy, all right? I need to get the creative department together. We need to figure out how we could twist the name of the band and use their letters as acronyms for some kind of Satan-worshipping stuff. So you guys get this.
I think that would be true nowadays, but in the 80s, I don't think that much thought was put into it.
Obviously.
I think that there were just a lot of like metal bands, and they weren't doing it, and they just like they them. I just imagine themselves like they're like, man, I'm so tired of playing open mic night, and then so they just kind of come up with a gimmick. I mean, because you look at Kiss. I mean, Kiss was just a kabuki theater gimmick.
Yeah.
I mean, if Kiss never would have done the makeup, they never would have gotten out of being like a bar band probably. And so I mean,
still
I
sound
think
like one.
Yeah. But it's funny, I was talking with someone the other day, and we were talking about music and how in a weird way it's kind of nice, not nice, but it's simple music, and it's just about, it's about girls, it's about going to parties, it's about having a good time, you know, and there's something said about the simplicity of it too, but But yeah, it's oh, and the other one that and I remember because a guy showed me this in high school. Dio, the way that the font was for Dio, where if you turned it upside down, it said like Devil or 666. I don't remember which one. The thing I looked up, it says Devil. So
graphic design.
Yes, back then.
That's like that Grateful Dead cover, American Beauty. It could be read to be his American Reality.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you look at the cover. But that's too nice for devil worshipping. Although, if anybody would be worshipping the devil and got a deal with the devil, I'm pretty sure it would be Jerry Garcia.
You think so?
Well, I mean, he's kind of like the hippie Santa Claus. So it's like, you know, I mean, the guy would do smack so much, you know. I don't really see him as, like, you know, a role model, but, like, tons of hippies love this guy because he's, like, this fun-loving guy. But, I mean, like, how, I mean, besides playing the guitar pretty well, I mean, what else has he, like, done? I mean.
Well, I have to say that I always thought that in this, like, I remember, like, he was being interviewed by Dick Cavett when I saw it when I was a kid, and I always thought that when he did interviews, he always had a little bit of edge to his voice. Like, he always seemed kind of like he was pompous, which everyone is like, oh, Jerry's the greatest. But I always thought that maybe secretly, like, maybe he was really kind of a conservative asshole in his you know, in reality.
He was just twisting the minds of kids across the land.
Yeah. I mean, like, really, he's like, God, I hate these smelly bastards, you know?
I kind of got that vibe off him on the few things I saw him interviewed on, but... What was his first band's name? What were they called before they were Grateful Dead?
The Devil Worshippers?
Were they like the Warlocks or something?
I don't know.
I think you're right. I think I'm not. I'm the wrong person.
I don't know either. I haven't. There's a 2 year period in my life in college where I was like Grateful Dead. Now I'm like, not so much.
Did you buy a lot of the bootleg and the tapes? And did you follow them and stuff? Did you
I ripped a lot of CDs that were like. Them? No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I did see Fish, though, so that counts, kind of.
Phil Lesh was the last member. To join the Warlocks before they became the Grateful Dead. So,
Phil Lesh is in the Fish.
No, Phil Lesh is not. He's played with the Fish, though.
Oh, he has? Okay, I don't know. Why? God, I don't. That's worse than devil.
I'm turning into a hippie gene.
Yes.
Discussion.
Well, hippies are kind of like the devil, but I mean.
They smell like the devil. I got to tell you, yesterday, I was in the city yesterday, and I was so excited. We were walking, and I mean, I wasn't excited as I should have been, but we walked up to City Lights Bookstore, you know, which was big with Jack Kerouac and Ferlinghetti. You know, it's kind of history right there. And we were in a hurry, but we were all kind of tired. I'm like, oh, well, I'm just gonna run in really quickly. And I ran in there, and it was warm, and someone had the worst BO I've ever smelled in my life. And it actually drove me out of a bookstore that I had always wanted to go to since I was in high school. So that was probably some double BO, so or some Grateful Dead BO. I found this thing, a brief history of satanic rock. Do you guys want to hear any of this? There's a couple of things that are kind of interesting. The first one is, the first part is the blues, and they mainly talk about Robert Johnson.
Yeah, I know that.
And you know that movie Crossroads is kind of loosely the Ralph Macchio.
It's loosely a lot.
that movie is a great, terrible movie. Have you seen that, Tim?
Crossroads. When did it come out?
Like in the 80s, actually. Yeah. I mean, Ralph Macchio, like any other movie that really involves the devil, it's the 80s.
80s.
Ralph Macchio. Oh,
yeah, he's like he works at like a old nursing home.
No, he doesn't. No, I got this. No, because okay. He went to Juilliard. He was like master guitarist, musician, right? And he had a secret ambition and love for the blues. So he found out that like Blind Willie, this blues harmonica player, was at this old person's home. So he got a job as a janitor so he can hang out with this guy.
That was kind of right.
You were there.
Okay. I was kind of worried, like, did I just tell
I now understand why I didn't watch this.
Well, oh, no. It's awesome. This is what... It's awesome because Steve Vai is in it. So.
Oh, and you know what? That duel is really fun, but one of my favorite part of the movie, and it stuck with me because my friend's band, I told them that they should put this sample before their song, the first song on their album. There's this part when he plays, Ralph Macchio plays the guitar, this blues thing for the old man. He's like, he's trying to impress him. And the old man looks at him and he says, "That sounds like bird shit." and I was like, man, wouldn't it be great if, like, you put a record on, you know, like, this is back in the million years ago, you put on the 7-inch record, and the person here is like, "This sounds like bird shit." And then like, breaks in it. But they have that duel. Tim, you got to watch. There's an epic duel, like, Steve Vai and Ralph Macchio going back and forth. Like, and don't they kind of insinuate that Steve Vai, like, he did make a deal with the devil, too? Like, he's one of the devil's minions kind of thing?
Yeah,
am I right? Okay. Yeah, it's kind of a wonderful crappy movie.
It's kind of an obvious twist at the end. I'm not going to spoil anything, because I know, Tim, you're going to watch this right after we get done. the cool thing is that there is some blue stuff. They have, like, this forced love interest story, which, you know...
It's Jamie Gertz, who, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's kind of like whatever. But, you know, Ralph Macchio, it's the blues. I mean, if you like the blues, it's kind of cool to watch. But the duel at the end is what put it over the top.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so it says, so the Robert Johnson, that he, the, you know, says that he wasn't blessed with guitar talent, and he first began playing professionally. He yearned for overnight success. He was met by a large black man who apparently was the devil in disguise. The big man took the guitar from Johnson, tuned it, and returned it to him. And it says his improvement was swift and amazing. he was tormented in his dreams by the hellhounds chasing him. And he was behaving arrogantly and drinking and all this. And he was he was poisoned by a married woman's husband is what happened. And so the poison had him foaming at the mouth and talking babble. He died within days. His last words were, "I pray that my Redeemer come and take me from my grave." What was interesting was where they buried him. This will tell you how much people believed in this, is they buried him in an unmarked grave because they were afraid that the devil was going to come and get him.
Wow.
My only problem with that is if you're going that far with it, the devil probably can figure out where the hell he is. That's just like, and if you can, like, make him an instant star, tracking down a grave all that hard?
Yeah.
What would the devil want with a dead body, though?
Well, for hell.
I think he'd be busy hanging out with Gene Simmons instead. In fact, I think
he's been dead for 20 years.
Yeah, exactly. that tongue is does not look like it's a human anyway. No, I bet Gene Simmons is kind of jealous of this gimmick too. That's a pretty good gimmick. Like, it's pretty tight because it's like, wow, like, you know, my Redeemer come from my grave, poison.
I've got I'm consulting my little book here, and there's a section on the dual duty for the devil and the dual disguises of the devil.
The disguise for Robert Johnson was a big black man who tuned his guitar.
If you watch Crossroads, they update the disguise for the devil for the times of the days at the Crossroads as well.
This one
yeah, like in the old time when Robert Johnson like first went there, like it was old timey like beat up car and like you know the
tumbleweeds and dusty town, yeah.
But then like Ralph Macchio's at the Crossroads, and I mean we already know he made a deal with the devil. Like,
and Britney Spears was there filming a movie.
Yeah, exactly. But when
also
when,
called
when,
Crossroads.
When Ralph yeah, exactly, and Ralph Macchio, that is amazing. Wow, my mind is blown, John. I made that connection. And
makes
now,
a lot of sense.
It does. That's,
well,
that's,
and look at the fall from grace that she's had. I mean, with the shaved head, she kind of looks
that's
like the devil
pretty...
anyway. And here I was thinking that there's no more devil references in music and stuff.
Oh, no. Stuff. I have a huge list of people that I think have made deals.
But real quick, my point is when Ralph
Macchio
went there, the guy had an updated car, updated look, updated threads.
That's
he was
true.
In disguise for the days of the time of the day. So it was like,
yeah, he had the Harold Pinter suit on.
Extra
by the way,
board. Extra board and a ginormous feather sticking out of his wide brim hat. Not unlike the Big Hat Club from I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Did he have a free gold tone chain?
Tim, does Hokey know the story about how you wanted to go to Harold Pinter's when you were a kid?
No, I didn't. I want to hear this.
Well, I watched a lot of TV as a kid, so I saw a lot of ads, and I couldn't, it was one of those things my young consumer mind hadn't yet, you know, formed fully, and so they had the ad, and they're like talking about how cheap their suits were. And we had like a holiday or something coming up, and I needed to get clothes or something. And I went to my parents, I'm like, oh, this place has these really good deals. I said, you can buy one suit and you get one free. And I said, and you get a free gold chain.
And then, like, Tim, did you like, over gold?
Where it's a hair center, and they're like, oh, we can't go there. Why can't we?
It's not they cool. They should. I like, would totally take my kid to Hair Pinner. I mean, if they want the suit, I'm going to give them the suit that they want.
Well, did they have good deals on the suits too? Where it was like
they did, like, but they were. My parents were like, that store's not for us.
That's kind of bull. I'm calling bull crap on that.
Well, and I said, what do you mean it's not for us? And they said, well, no, it's not clothes that we. I've heard it was. They were trying not to be like say it's a black store. They never did say it was a black store. I think they're just like, go away.
I would get it.
They wanted the gold chain, though.
My only taste in suits are just all black. I like all black suits, but I always get made fun of because everyone keeps asking, are you going to a funeral? And it's like, no, it's just black. It's just, that's what I like.
I like the black, too, because I it feels kind of slimming to me, at least. I mean,
I don't know. I need all the help I can get, so.
Oh, yeah, me too. I definitely... I like to do the black and the gray, like, dress shirt. I feel it's kind of a nice... But
it is, like, something the devil would wear, right? Just all black all the time. That
or black and red. A black and red. Which I like that. I like that look, too. I can't really pull that
That's one probably available at Hair Pinner right now.
They do probably that look. My driving ambition was to get that free gold chain.
Yeah.
Why not? As long as it doesn't make your neck green, I think you're good.
That's what I was just thinking.
Oh, that's like, awesome. I can get a free gold chain and I get a suit.
I'm going to get you, sucker. No, I'm not going to bring that up. We'll do blaxploitation some other time.
Oh, yeah, that would be good, too. I love
that genre, but it's definitely not the devil's work. There's too much warmth and goodness from that.
In a band from Austin, Texas, I can't remember what the name was, but he had a whole sleeve of tattoos that was all black exploitation film characters. I'll have to look that up and see if I can find it. I don't remember who that was.
So The Crossroads is a great movie. What other like musical artists at the time have been accused of having like?
Well, they talked a little bit about the Rolling Stones in the '60s because they were in big with Anton LaVey. And because he wrote the book, you know, the Bible book about it. Led Zeppelin, they've always said too. Obviously, Motley Crue. But it's interesting, and because the guy who was a Satanist, because remember, the last time I read you some of the stuff about the Church of Satan and how would they be, they said that anybody that was a real like satanic person would not be doing this kind of stuff, would not be promoting it, and not be saying it, wouldn't be
with it.
Yeah, they
not,
they're,
not
you know,
shilling it, right?
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't be like going all PBS, you know, pledge wise with it.
That but, might actually be the devil's work because I used to work there.
Yeah. Oh, I remember watching that as a kid too. It's bad news. But the Robert Johnson one was really interesting. But the one thing that was interesting, they said about the 50s is that some people have said that the work of the devil with some of the with the Big Bopper and Richie Valens, that plane crash, Jerry Lee Lewis getting in trouble with his cousin, Elvis getting drafted to the army, that these were all like, you know, they were with the devil and they were being punished by God is what they were saying.
So Elvis gets into the army and that's his punishment?
Wouldn't the punishment be more dying on the crapper with a belly full of drugs?
I think that would be. Although, here's why, that's probably why Elvis went out with the devil that way, is because I've heard, there's some great Elvis stories. There's one where he actually woke up in the middle of the night and got his crew together and took a private jet to Denver to get...
You know the story of this, don't you? That I hate to interrupt, but it's just too good to jump in. But that's that's my girlfriend's uncle who was the plane, who was the pilot.
Oh wow! So he actually did. He grabbed, flew them to Denver to get this one sandwich. It was a loaf of bread with peanut butter and what else?
Jelly and bacon. Peanut butter, jelly, and
so
bacon.
Awesome.
Yeah, because and they actually, when I was back in Kansas last time, Christy and Alex were out in Florida and staying with him. His name is Jim Manny. He's an airline. Well, he was a private pilot, but he was Elvis's private pilot. And he doesn't really like to talk about it a lot. Because I asked her, I said, look, you just have to ask him when you're there if he was. Because I heard that on like one of the VH1 specials, like when they talked about that story. And he said, oh, yeah, because I guess Elvis would pay them a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's Elvis.
Yeah.
And Boom, there's a Cadillac.
And he would give him spending money, too. Dude. Like, when they would go places, like, he would be like, here's a couple thousand, you know, go have a good time.
I guess he knew he couldn't take it with him, especially where he was going.
But that story, I guess you think about it, like, because Tim and I, you know, like, as we've talked about our fun game that we had, the deal with the devil, I guess we always think about, like, when they kind of try to renege on the contract or something like that. So I always kind of wonder if that's, like, Elvis dying on the toilet was, like, his shameful, like, oh, right, I'm collecting today.
But so. I think, like, the people who died younger, like the Richie Valens and the Buddy Hollies and stuff, they trying to get out of it sooner. They're like, no, I can make it on my own, and then.
But you don't think that those guys would just be talented, like that they would have been.
They could be talented, but I get it, even in the '50s, I would say you didn't have to be as good looking as you do these days. But
yeah, Eddie, that's
was hideous looking dude.
Richie Valens.
All the guys, there's very. It's kind of like a double-edged sword, right? On one tip of the blade. On one side, you have the really ugly motherfuckers who you know that the only way they could get some tang is by having really good rock music. So you know that maybe something happened with that, right? Mm-hmm. But on the other side, there's the really hot heartthrobs like Frankie Avalon or like Vanilla Ice.
What?
Yeah,
that's right. Vanilla Ice heartthrob?
Yeah, well, he was cool as ice. Have you seen that movie? So what I'm saying is that they got by on their looks and they had shitty music because somehow they got popular. So then there's that other question. It's like, did they make a deal? Because obviously they're getting by on looks alone and they somehow got really popular.
Somebody got by on talent, but I'm just thinking when you're young and talented and you die, like in a plane crash, that's you trying to get out of your deal.
So I have to ask now. So we're kind of getting into this, right? So what do each of you guys really, like, really believe? Or is that something we should wait until after
and go around and say? Like, I think I want to do a precursor to it because I don't want anyone to think that I really believe in all this. You know, like, it's a fun thing. Like, Tim and I like to be kind of silly. And we're like, you know, that guy might have made a deal with the devil. We don't really believe in it. I don't believe that there's actually a little man in a pitchfork. I think once you die, you die. I think there's really not a whole lot afterwards. But I also like the idea, too, because there's some people that have, like, minimal talent or the stars line up just correctly where it seems really odd. And I have...
and suspicious.
I'm just saying, I'm like, I don't believe in it. But if it was real, this person is probably...
That's something I like to call the bullshit detector.
Tim, did I articulate that well enough?
No. Your short synopsis is you don't believe in the devil, but you believe in the deal.
That's right. That's the T-shirt.
That's the episode title right there.
I don't necessarily believe in the devil, hell kind of thing, but I do believe sometimes something's just really, really something's amiss sometimes.
I'm dying to get into my list. And see what you guys' thoughts
are. Well, here, let me say, okay, so I don't believe in the devil at all. I think the devil is something people kind of go to as an excuse. I believe that it's probably the person themselves are doing dastardly things. And you could say selling out, you could say that they probably fuck somebody over or whatever. Or fuck somebody up the ass.
Or get like, fucked in the ass.
Like John Davidson, if you ever guys listen to Bill Hicks.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, the Bill Hicks clip, too. That I guess it goes back to the master.
Yeah, so I don't believe per se. I think that the people kind of use it as a cop-out, that they're just really just evil. But I think it is kind of like, it's the devil's deal that they made. Whether or not you believe in the devil or not, you could totally pin that on them as, like, that's something that happened. So, but anyway, Cool. All right. I wasn't sure because I was like, we're going in here.
Oh, yeah,
And it was like, well, hold on a minute.
Well, I got to tell you, I've done my research because, like, which we can go back to, like, the 80s cult bands or and the backwards.
Well, and I'm really interested in the movies, but I want to save The Gate.
Yeah, and The Gate, we definitely got to go into The Gate because I enjoyed The Gate a lot more than I thought. So I also want to let you know, I also found a bad joke kind of blank snots about a deal with the devil. So
is that your tape? Do you have that?
You know what? I could not find it. I had to watch it on Netflix streaming.
Whoa! Wait, it's on Netflix streaming?
Yeah, The Gate is. Yeah, that's how I watched
it. I thought you were talking about Blanche Knotts.
Oh, no, no. No, that I posted the wrong thing. But no, the Blanche Knotts, it was on eBay. I'm probably going to put a bit in it because I feel like that's kind of a combination of two things that we are very in love with.
And I think and there's so we'll save that for later. Anyway, we'll save that for later. Anyway, so, yeah, because I'm like, I just half-handedly look for, like, current Blanche Knotts status, and I think there's some real treats in there. So, anyway, I'm pretty sure that was not a devil's deal, because I don't even think the devil would get as deep as this guy got into doing those jokes.
I would love to someday have a whole collection of those paperbacks. They just look so, like, weird.
Oh, God damn it. Okay, so I gotta give this away. So this is for the future. This is what it's gonna be like for a future episode. True story. Back when Walden Books was a thing, you guys remember Walden Books?
Yeah, yeah. I spent a lot of time
there. I worked at Walden Books.
You did?
Dude, what? I didn't even know that. What? All these amazing coincidences. Maybe we're doing a devil's deal right now.
I worked there the spring and summer before I transferred to KU.
So Tim, you can confirm this for me. Because I remember as a kid, like 12 years old, I was in a big Garfield phase, you know?
Back to Garfield every time.
yes. I would. I didn't have the pajama shirt, but I had. I collected books, you know? It was from the stupid troll or Scholastic News, whatever thing you were. It's like, you know, everybody buys enough books, you get a pizza party, and then.
Yeah.
That's a fucking devil's deal right there. That
personal
is evil.
Pizza.
Yeah.
Reed. Cool. It was called Reed, wasn't it?
Read, motherfucker, or die. Oh, man, so that got me hooked, and I always read the Sunday comics, which that's another topic, too, is like Sunday comics has turned to shit. Anyway, so, like, so, Tim, you can confirm this, because now that John confirmed the Elvis story, Tim, you can confirm that in Walden Books, right next to the Garfield books and the, and the other comic-related books, like Peanuts or U.S. Farm, or whatever, U.S. Acres, the Jim Davis knockoff, or, like, fucking Calvin and Hobbes, right next to that, in the same, like, aisle, was Blanche Knotts' Chewy Tales' jokes.
Yes. Those little books of Garfield and the little, like, innocent Calvin and Hobbes, the more clean stuff, ran right into
Blanche Knotts' Truly Tasteless Jokes.
Because it would be comics and humor.
And that's how I discovered Blanche Knotts' Truly Tasteless Jokes. Was I was in that aisle, and I'm like, what's this? And I'm like, oh, it's jokes like my dad tells.
Yeah.
That's how I got started into that.
Do you guys want to hear the deal with the devil joke first? Or do you want to hear the list?
I want to hear both.
Okay. Well, I'll give you the joke first, since we just did the whole Walden Books. And by the way, I went to a Half Price Books on Friday night, and I went to the humor section. I was hoping to find
a few,
but I didn't find any. But online, there's a whole bunch of them. On eBay, you can get them, but they even have like jokes for servicemen and some other things. They get really specific. Okay, so here's the joke about the deal with the devil. Blanche Knotts kind of style. Okay. All right. I'm just going to go ahead and read it rather than get too crazy. Okay. Three guys die in a car accident and wind up in hell. They realize where they are and find the devil. They plead with him, please let us go to heaven. The devil comes up with an idea. He points at a huge escalator with some of the most beautiful, hottest women you've ever seen. He says, you see that escalator? If you can make it up to heaven without engaging in any sexual activity with any of those women, you're free to go. But if you do anything nasty with any of them, then I'm going to do something that your job on earth is related to. The first guy goes, fucks the first chick. So the devil asks what his job was. A mechanic, he replies. So the devil rips his dick off with pliers. The second guy goes and fucks the chick in the very middle. A carpenter, he replies, so the devil saws his dick off. The final guy goes and makes it to the very top when he screws the last chick. The devil asks, well, you know the drill, buddy. What was your job? And the guy just starts laughing his ass off. Furious, the devil asks him, why are you laughing? And the guy replies, I'm a blow pop tester. Terrible. Isn't that awful? Tim, where's the sound?
I need to have that queued up, actually.
Yeah, I'm
we gotta have a gun. Oh man, yeah. Let's just go full on. Fuck it.
There we go.
Dude, we might as well just go full on wacky morning radio DJ soundboard.
Oh, that's the only one. We don't want to get that.
Barely want a show. That's it.
There's more. We might as well just fucking jump all in. What the hell? It's the ride that we're on Gonzo, guys.
I think maybe one's okay. That's the only one we really have, haven't we? We haven't had any other sound effects.
No, we usually just have audio clips that are relevant.
Yeah, the audio clips.
Are well, tune in. Tune in.
That's two, Tim. God damn it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, tune in later because we'll pick the ending song for the show as well.
So
it might be that NXS song, just a teaser. Anyway.
Oh, the devil.
Yeah. So anyway.
So my lists that I have, and some of these Tim and I have talked about, but I'll just kind of go through them first. One of them I have, and we actually talked about a couple of them too before, but I put J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter books.
Yep.
Tim Tebow.
Oh, yeah.
That's
Chelsea Handler.
I know of her, but I have not seen anything.
Oh, okay. Jonah Hill.
Yeah, I mean, all you have to do is look at what was that movie, Wild Predators, Wild Life? What is that?
Ooh, Strange Wilderness. Oh, my God. Ooh.
That was painful. Like,
that may be the worst movie I've ever seen.
So the Spirit of Gonzo guys, like when we did the video podcast, when we did like review movies, which I'm still open to doing, we have the technology, we can figure it out. But like, one of the things that we got into was like a lot of these bad movies were bad because they weren't trying to be funny and ended up being funny either because it was absolutely ridiculous premise, cheesy effects. You know, I can go back into Doctor Who of why that's into entertaining, but like the only thing that is actually even more terrible than what its intention was is a comedy that ends up not being funny at all. Yeah, that you're not left with anything redeeming from that. And Strange Wilderness, and especially Jonah Hill, is a great example of that.
Did you see that? I saw it in the theater. Did you see it in the theater?
I'm sorry, John. I am so sorry. Can I just send you the price of the ticket? Because it was horrible. I rented it. But I've got friends, and I'm they're good friends. I won't speak their name because they're probably listening. But they actually like really enjoyed Strange Wilderness.
I don't think I could be friends with people like that. I mean, that's like a character.
I'm like, I watched that movie, and it was so painful. And the biggest pain point was motherfucking Jonah Hill. That guy he made a deal with the devil. He would make me believe in the devil. That's how bad he is.
Well, part of what I think it is with him too is because he's funny, but he's made some movies that he's not bad in, but then he's done some. But then to me, there's the tremendous weight loss, and now he's putting it back on again. So to me, it's like that's where the little tricky thing is, where he's like, I want to be in a movie like 21 Jump Street when I want to be thin and I want to be kind of a leading, you know, so then I don't want to be a fat goofball and typecast into this. So that's kind of where I'm going with that one. Let me just go through the rest of the list and then we can go back.
Sure.
So Okay, so then I have the author of the 50 Shades of Grey, that E.L. James.
Wait, okay, so what is the 50 Shades of Grey? I've heard.
Oh,
of
you don't know what that is?
I've heard of that. I don't, you know, I'm so removed from stuff like that. All I know
is that you're so lucky.
All I know is that it's a glorified Harley Quinn novel, I think.
Yeah, there are so many people reading this. My sister's reading it, and no one wants to admit like that they're reading it and they enjoy it. It's in the same vein of how everyone hates Michael Bolton, everyone hates Celine Dion. Okay, so somebody is buying their stuff,
yeah,
because they're multimillionaires and they're getting booked on all these shows and they have these
somebody on their shoulder is compelling them to buy their stuff.
But have you ever met anyone who is a self-admitted fan?
Except only in opposites.
I've known people who would come right out and say they love both of them.
Okay.
Not my age.
Right. But what I'm saying is that there's so many people like in our age group or even a little bit above or below, like everyone like with this 50 Shades of Grey, they're like, oh, I'm just reading it for a goof, or I just wanted to see what all the hype was about. My own sister said that. Oh, I just want to see what the hype was about. I don't know if she read it, but when I thumbed through it, it's not so much the content, it's like big deal, but it's just poorly written. And I think, Tim, we were talking about that, and your wife was saying that. But your wife's read it, haven't
she? She read it, but she almost couldn't read them because she's like, this is horrible.
Did she read the whole series or just one?
I think they're not very long, first of all.
Yeah, they're short. You could read it. Really for short. Us, three of us, we can read it.
She goes,
it's really a dirty, she goes, it's a glorified dirty book. And she said, but it's so badly written.
It's basically there's a guy who owns a corporation, and it's like it sounds like it's kind of S&M stuff. But then it was interesting because what the underlying message is that she basically is trying to change this guy. If you think about it, that's what someone made the point of that.
I'm not. I don't know how deep I want to get into.
I don't either. I don't want. But I'm just saying the woman who wrote this was a housewife. Who she just kind of wrote this for herself, just to kind of.
It was fan fiction for Twilight. That's where.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, but is it supernatural?
No.
It's a person who was on a data site where people wrote fan fiction for Twilight. She posted this story, which was really dirty because you know the Twilight books are pretty clean, despite their content.
So what's the connection?
And now she's a multi-million.
Yeah, she posted on a fan fiction site for Twilight. The user group got mad and had it pulled off because they didn't feel it was appropriate for the people.
Pulled off.
Okay, so real quick, we'll get back to the list, but real quick. So this is like a Harley Quinn novel. Now, are you guys familiar with Harley Quinn novels, right?
I've got several collections. I mean, no.
it's pretty much just trashy. They call them romance novels, but really it's just fucking stories for ladies. Is it right?
Yeah, but this is a little more graphic because the Harlequin, from what I've known about those, that they're kind of like flowery language, like he pushed his manhood against her, you know, that kind of thing.
Wait, hold on, say that again slower.
Pushed his manhood against her.
I'll be back about 5 minutes.
And signing off. Need a juice box and a nap. What do you guys do, boys?
I used to do a Capri Sun, sir.
I love a good Capri Sun.
Yes, I love struggling poking that fucking straw into the hole, which is not unlike struggling poking something else into a hole.
Yeah, for me, they are about the same size, but not as yellow. So straw.
It is as yellow, and there is a giant sucking sound at the end.
Yeah, that's the vacuum.
So
I think that this woman, I mean, it would be the equivalent of, you know, we're having a good time with this, you know, with the podcast, and we're like, you know, like, hey, some people maybe are listening, maybe they're not, who knows, but we're like, oh, whatever. And then the next thing we know, we're like, hey, we all don't have to work our real jobs anymore. You know, it'd be kind of like something happened with those guys. They went from their third episode, their fourth episode, where they're all making money doing this, and this is what they do. Then that's what I think about with this woman. I'm like, how in the world did everything line up perfectly where this poorly written book was picked up, because there are people, you know, who wrote books that are amazing and they cannot get them published. I mean, look at, I'm not saying Stephen King is like the epitome of amazing writer, but you know, but The Shining and all those books, they were rejected by so many publishing houses.
Yeah. And I could talk to Kelly. She's, and Tim, Rebecca a little bit too. But Kelly, you know, she's written ebooks. She's self-published because she got tired of getting rejected. And now,
yeah,
she wrote another book, and she's like, there's a whole, like, it's, there's a reason people are starting to self-publish a lot more than, like,
yeah.
And ebooks are transforming things, and make it a little bit more powerful for the author, but it also means you have to do a lot more footwork. But if you hear about some of the contracts that authors have now, they're pretty much responsible for their own marketing anyway. So it's like, you know, you might as well get the full cut of what you're publishing anyway versus
yeah.
going with the publishing house. But and that ties into the Harley Quinn novel really quick with the 50 Shades of Grey. It's just basically like a Harley Quinn novel, which is like for the uninitiated. I know you just talked about it, but it's pretty much just trashy fuck novels that
yeah.
get passed around by like people like my mom.
Yeah.
And it's like recycled through this underground network of garage sales and yard sales and stuff, where you can get like a 15-cent, you know, Harley Quinn novel and then sell it later on in your own garage sale. And it's like this underground railroad of sexually depraved housewives that may or may not be
yeah.
your own mother.
It's one of the highest circulating library items in most public library items are the romance novels.
Really?
Yeah, because they're cheap, they're trashy, they get the point across, and there's just so much.
Well, but they're written in a different kind of way, I think, too, where like they're not real graphic. I mean, they don't talk about like
I don't know,
fluids and stuff. I don't.
I don't know. I really don't know. I've never really sat down and read one. I'm just making an assumption.
Some are more graphic than others. I'll say that.
Yeah.
But so yeah, 50 Shades of Grey sounds like it was like the kind of like an updated, naughtier version of a
yeah.
Harley Quinn novel, and somehow that got into the mainstream and super popular for some
right.
devilish reason.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, so the ones I have
what,
on the
did
list.
Did you get a boner or something? What?
Slurp.
No,
I sat on it.
Oh, that's it. I'm glad
have,
it's long enough,
also,
sir.
I have Mick Foley.
Now, why Mick Foley? He's a wrestling guy. He's had three different personas. He's been in the business for how long? Why Mick Foley? Why wrestling's Mick Foley?
Well, because there just doesn't seem to add up. I'm not saying that he's not amazingly talented and didn't put his body on the line, but the fact that a guy that looks like that and has that kind of body in any age and was doing that kind of persona somehow made it to be world champion three times?
So it wasn't like because he could take a bump or anything, was it?
No, because that's to me like he taking a bump and making the other guy look good is still making the other guy look good. And so, I mean, to take a guy that was all about taking punishment and beaten and had these insane characters and would bleed and get blown up and all this stuff, and somehow he becomes where he's doing Chef Boyardee commercials.
He's writing children's books.
He's writing children's books. And, I mean, and it's not that his books aren't good, because his books are really pretty good. Tatum Brown and... what was the other one? Scooter, I think? They're
yeah.
both pretty good. I mean, they're not bad books at all. The Tatum Brown's really good, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But just the fact that a guy who was a lifelong wrestler, like, you know, he always wanted to, you know, be a champion and everything. But, you know, and not that – and I just think that, you know, he would have gone on and people would have been like, oh, this guy's really cool. He's really crazy. He'll take a lot of bumps. And people would always be entertained by him. But world champion, the guy that's the face of your company – it's like that just never worked for me. I don't know, Tim. Do you agree? I mean, do either of you guys or do you guys are like, nah? You had enough talent.
This one, the world champion thing makes sense. I also kind of think the fact that he can't see it. And this is with all wrestlers, but he kind of swore he was never going to be that guy. Retired and came back. Retired and came back. Retired and came back. But he
yeah.
kind of is.
That always happens with every wrestler, though. So I would defy that.
But the thing against it, the only thing I think is he came into it even though with Vince McMahon floating around, putting in bodybuilders and that kind of thing, there still were guys who were not conventionally good-looking, hunky dudes that were excelling at wrestling.
But were they world champion, though?
I never thought Harley Race was all that good-looking dude.
But that's a different era.
Well, but it was a different era, but he was still around then.
No, he wasn't wrestling right then. He was more of the manager. He managed Bader. But he wasn't. What I'm saying is that he was never put on, because the champion is the face of your company. He's supposed to put butts in the seats.
He sold ravioli, man.
You what?
He did sell ravioli.
Yeah, I mean, but I just
hey,
the personas weren't kid friendly. They weren't mainstream friendly. So that's what, to me, that I just kind of always have thought, well, if there's a guy that, not saying that he's not talented, I'm not saying that I didn't enjoy him immensely. And then I'm thinking, you know, well, maybe that's part of his deal then, is this sadness where he doesn't want to quit now. And maybe he's further selling it to keep going. I don't know.
Well, okay. So you said he sold ravioli then. Okay, then you know what? I don't know. He might be on your list, but I'm going to go ahead and take a stab and say that Hulk Hogan would have to be on that list then, because of his, like, Hulkamaniacs, like, spaghetti shop that opened up in the Great Mall of America. Hulk Hogan had his own.
Really?
Yeah.
The restaurant?
Yeah, he had his own restaurant in the Mall of America. Remember, he was pimping that in WCW when he first started out then. It was called Hulk Hogan Pasta Mania. Let me send you that link. It was actually called Pasta Mania.
So I guess maybe that one we don't really. Maybe I'm not.
Maybe you could say a majority of wrestlers who made it to, like, major stardom.
Well, but no. Okay, so, like, Hulk Hogan.
You know, you see what I mean? But Hulk Hogan was still, like, a big, muscly guy.
Okay, yes. Okay.
Ultimate Warrior was, but Mick Foley's all scarred up and beat up. And you're like, I mean, that's a big chance for someone to take. Say, this is our guy. This is our champion. You know what I mean? That was my kind of.
But I'm. Well, okay, so, like.
So, we're debating this.
I know. Seriously.
This is hilarious.
Listen. How many movies has Mick Foley been in? All right?
But Hogan's been in a lot more, you're right.
And they're all pretty nice. Terrible.
Terribly awesome.
No.
Terribly awesome? Would you just you say that there's, like...
That wasn't me. That was the devil that said that.
Terribly awesome.
That wasn't me.
666. I mean, like...
All right, so he's had his own Pasta Mania restaurant, all right?
Okay, so I definitely know, did you guys ever, there was a Great Mall, that's in Minnesota, Minneapolis, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys never got to go there, right?
I was in Minnesota, and Kelly was there for a marathon. She did the Twin Cities, and I opted to go to the sports bar and watch college football where everybody else went to the Mall of America.
I've never been to the Mall of America.
I've been to the Mall of America.
Did you eat some?
I did not see Pasta Mania because I would have stopped and looked at that.
Well, it was probably still there? Closed down really quick.
And I was going to say, if it was, it may not have been there anymore when I was there, but I have been to the Mall.
So I'm going to go ahead without making a list. I'm just going to throw Hogan in there. I don't care. I'm going to throw Cotton in the wind. I think he did a deal with the devil. I think he's paying for it now in TNA.
I know the last three on my list. I know for sure you guys are all
agree. And Brooke Hogan, what a no-talent hack. That little spawn is the devil, so I guarantee you Hulk Hogan had to make some kind of deal.
Do you guys remember when he was putting, like, suntan lotion on her and stuff, and, like, all the weird, like... Ooh,
that is weird.
Kind of Oedipus-y kind of things that were going on.
Reverse Oedipus.
Reverse Oedipus. The handlock reversal Oedipus. Okay, so the last thing that I have on my list. So we can go back to Tim Tebow, though. I think we definitely.
Yeah, I think we can all agree.
I will have to get a beer before that, but I agree.
Oh, okay. But so the last thing I have Mickey Rourke, which we talked about that one.
Yeah.
And then John Travolta.
He's a Scientologist. I mean, okay, nothing against Scientologists. I don't want to be intimidated into a lawsuit or anything.
But the John Travolta one, I think that he made the deal for that second.
Right.
Boost of popularity, yeah, from Tarantino. And then I think now, like, that he's trying to renege on his deal. So then his son, and then now with his gain is coming out, is the collecting. You'd be like, All right, that's paying the piper right there.
That's a downfall.
That's paying the Roddy Piper right there.
They live.
It's the greatest movie ever. Anyway,
it's one of my favorites. It really is.
And it's very prophetic as well. I mean, especially in today's times, I think you can make a good. You could draw a line. It's pretty easy.
And I know it's cliche to say, but it has the best fight scene ever.
It is pretty good. So
amazing. And then Lynyrd Skynyrd was last on my list.
That's interesting because of that plane crash, right?
Yeah, that's the reckoning right there.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of the rub right there. That's the postulate. You know, you got to do. You can tell that a deal with the devil's been made because either like some kind of tragedy like has befallen people related to that, either a short time or sometime after that, like. They've reached their height of whatever popularity or whatever richness they come into.
Yeah. Yeah. And Tim, you should tell Hokie, Tim had this really great thing when he was talking about like REO Speedwagon or one of those bands about their deal. And about the county fairs. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, that was the thing. You didn't like read the fine print and it's like, yeah, you'll be a band, you'll be famous forever, but like the majority of your career in your later years, they're gonna play county fairs. Lucky you'll get a state fair, but most of the time you're playing county fairs.
Like Kansas.
Yeah, like Kansas in Kansas.
Yeah. But when you said REO Speedwagon, it reminds me of one of my favorite visual jokes from Mad Magazine.
can you get a post that? Do you?
I'll find it. It's pretty much REO Speedwagon, but it's just a giant Oreo with wheels driving down the road. I don't know why that makes me laugh.
You know what's funny? What's the same vein of that joke is my sister and I, when we were kids, we found my dad's Playboys, and we couldn't stop laughing. There was a cartoon in there, and it had all these people itching their junk, and it was said, DC Crabs, and it was Mr. T was itching his balls, and like they were balls. And my sister, I just laughed. So it was like Oreo Speedwagon and DC Crabs.
No,
DC Cap, don't let your dick run your life. Did Gary Busey make a deal with the devil? I want to get to the movies stars, but.
Oh, yeah.
Gary Busey? Because Gary Busey was in DC Cab. Okay, and that said, I don't think Mr. T has done the deal with the devil anything.
No.
He's like
the complete antithesis. There's something about Mr. T where throughout his whole life, his whole career, he's always been like this really good, genuine guy. There's something about him. It's the aura of Mr. T. You know, I mean, sure, he was hitting on Rocky Balboa's wife in Rocky III. But, I mean, ever since then, I mean, does he curse? No. Have you ever heard him say fuck or shit? No.
But his cartoon was terrible. Do you remember that? I remember I loved Mr. T.
Gymnastics, right?
He was driving around a gymnastics team, and it was so terrible.
But Mr. T is like the antithesis of the devil. Somehow he, like, I don't know. I have a special
God-fearing man
for Mr. T, so.
He's a God-fearing man, if I remember correctly. He's very religious.
That's right.
I knew a girl that went to school with his daughters, like in the burbs of Chicago, suburbs. And you know, he was a really nice man, supposedly, and his daughters were very well-behaved and very nice. So there we go. That's the lightness in all this darkness Mr. T.
Mr. T is the antithesis. So if you have somebody to compare, you compare against that. Now, Gary, you see... I don't know if he made a deal with the devil or he's just a fucking devil. I don't know. But he's in DC Cab. And
he might very well be a demon.
He might be a... Ooh. Yeah.
Tim, you should look up your guidebook. What would the field book categorize him as?
He is probably...
Are there any demons on motorcycles?
I'm looking for toothy demons.
Yeah, did you guys ever see that show that he did on Comedy Central, that I'm with Busey?
Yeah, I saw that.
That was a really entertaining show, I hate to say. I actually just quoted that show just recently. We were at a picnic, and it was really dark, and it was kind of hard to see what you were eating. And I remember the scene when Gary Busey said that he likes to go in the middle of the night and make a plate from his fridge and just eat in the dark because it's an adventure. That's what he said. He's like, you don't know what you're eating. It's amazing. Your senses open up, and it's an adventure.
I'm just looking at this, and it says, "Name's the devil." Satan, Lucifer, the Prince of Darkness, Prince of Devils, Prince of this world, Gary Busey, his Satanic Majesty, the Prince of Hell. Oh, wait. I think
yes. Yeah, I knew that was coming in there. Wait for it.
But there is a book out there called the Liber Perditionis, which is a medieval book of damnation, and it's a who's who of demons. So I bet he's in there. I have to get a copy of that book.
Maybe you can get it at that side door flea market that you frequent.
Yeah, I'll probably buy it directly from him.
Yes, he may be there.
You want my book?
He's also the kind of guy too that if someone even kind of made a joke about something, or someone said, "Hey, that's Tim. He does a podcast," and they said that you may be a demon, that he would get really serious and would like get a broadsword and try to kill you. Really seems like someone who would take it. Like, you couldn't really be palling around.
You think he was really acting in Black Sheep?
I think that's a lot closer to Gary Busey than...
You go back to a lot of his films, and he does kind of play people that are kind of off. Like the Lethal Weapon character, Mr. Yeah. Joshua, and DC Cat.
And Predator 2.
Yeah, they were all off in their own... Even in Point Break, he was kind of a weird... like a chauvinistic kind of weirdo, you know. So
and that's how we all got murdered by Gary Busey.
You would totally bite your jugular. That's how he would kill you with them teeth.
Man. So, here you boys have a podcast.
So
we don't.
So is that so do you have any other on the list? Was that the last, one?
Well, yeah, I mean Lynyrd Skynyrd was kind of ties into that. The Mickey Rourke, I think that he kind of made it on his own, but then there was, I don't think he signed a very good deal as well with the second one, like around The Wrestler, you know?
Well, because I mean, he's not in Expendables 2, so, I mean, something happened.
How bad do you have to be as an actor when you're not in the Expendables, the sequel?
Yeah, bad from the Expendables. He didn't have that big a part in the first one either.
No, that's what's so weird.
Your chops aren't that good for the Expendables.
Oh, and now that you have Netflix streaming, John, you might be able to watch that movie.
Awesome. I'll take a hot shower.
I'm picturing Sylvester Stallone making like a phone call. Like,
did you say you'll take a hot Carl? What?
No. Well, that too. I said I'll take a hot shower, and I was about to say finish it and watch it in the nude. In the backyard.
I guess I beat you to the punch then.
You did.
Hey, Mickey.
So Sylvester Stallone. Okay, so now we're getting into the movies, right? We're doing movies, right? Sylvester Stallone, have you heard about his kid? Have you heard about his kid?
Natural causes?
His kid died. Like, while he was filming Expendables 2. Like, was it natural causes or did he OD?
No OD. He died of heart disease at, like, 34.
A heart disease at 34. He was doing the smack. So, I mean, yeah. Do you think Stallone did a deal with the devil? Or is now his second coming is his, like, victory against the devil? Like, did he have, like, a deal with the devil in his Copland days? And now he, like, came back, and now he's like...
I don't know, man. Copland is such a wonderful movie, though.
Well...
That's so tough to say. I mean, because for all the crappy movies he's made, there's... I mean, and Hoki, you're on board with the last Rocky movie. It was really good.
Oh, my God. Let's go build some hurting bombs.
So good. I mean, I don't even mean that like tongue in cheek. Like,
but I mean, there was a time where he just kind of dropped off the face of the earth, man. Like, okay, like Judge Dredd, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
stop. My mom will shoot.
Yeah. I mean, I won't watch Tango and Cash. Rhinestone was a lot earlier. But I mean, like Stallone. I mean, man, that guy is so interesting. He like wrote Rocky, and then he acted in like Death Race 2000. Fucking Roger Corman movie.
I love that film, by the way.
Yeah, it's like, the guy, I mean, it's like, you look at this guy, and he's like, he's just a machismo in a cheese ball, but then he writes serious stuff, and he does stuff on his own. He was going to do an adaptation of Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven. He wanted to do that, and never got it done. And I don't think anybody would take him seriously enough. It's so interesting, because now he's just kind of embracing his 80s hero stuff, and that's kind of why you see the incredible stuff.
The movie's making some bank.
So that's where I'm wondering. It's like, is he paid off the deal with the devil by having his kid die, and now he's, what's he doing now? Did he make another deal? It's very, he is so interesting, because, you know, on one hand, it's really cheesy, but on the other, he's done some really good stuff.
Well, he's really bipolar with his career, if you think about
right.
it. I mean, there's the great and the bad, and I always wonder, too, because, you know, like John Cusack is a good example of this. He would make a movie like Con Air or like a big like a romantic kind of comedy movie, and you're kind of like, man, why the hell is John Cusack in these movies? And someone asked him that once, and he said, well, because the money I make from that, then I could put it into the projects that I really want to do.
Yeah.
Like, he's bankrolling his own. And I wonder, like, if Sylvester Stallone in his own way is kind of like one of those guys where he's known for Rocky and everyone loves Rocky. And he's really, in his heart, he's like, I don't really like Rocky all that much. I want to do The Raven. I want to do Edgar Allan. You know, maybe he's a little more serious and has more depth to him. I mean.
Or I want to do Rocky. I don't want to do Rocky 3, you know.
Yeah, like Rocky, I'm passionate about. Rocky 3, I'm just getting a paycheck. But I can take that then and I can, you know, be in Copland or you know, I can try to bankroll something I really want to do. But I don't know. That's funny. I mean, we kind of...
Boy.
I know, and that's just today only, right? It's not like the 80s. The 80s is pretty easy because half the movies they made that had any kind of double work with it, it's like, that was a story. That was what was in the movie, right? Like, and then, like, outside of that, I mean, you get, like, Dee Snider showing up in court for like censorship of like music because of stuff like that. And then, you know, even, but it's even crazier having John Denver show up and defend that and shit like that. And it's always, it was way more interesting back in the 80s, especially with double work, than it is today. But you got to wonder, you know, I know we were wondering about it a couple weeks ago, but I mean, is it still around? Is there still kind of like this kind of the devil's in this music, the devil's in this movie kind of stuff?
No, I don't think at all. I think if there's people kind of like the supernatural and the end of the world, but devil, that's been replaced. Because like when we were younger, like there were movies about.
So now cult. it's just really bad movies where meteors hit the earth and somehow the dog survives.
Yeah, or it's
that's,
you know,
the devil's work.
Or it's a wasteland, or it's the end of the world is coming, and it's like the day after tomorrow, after next.
They're doing another Mad Max movie too.
That's with Mel Gibson?
No.
Oh. Well, why are they doing it? Like, they're remaking it?
I think they're remaking. They're doing a reboot, I guess.
Ooh, this is kind of turning into a tough day for me.
Yeah. Well, here, hold on.
I'm kind of, my butt hurts.
I'm going to go grab another beer. I'll be right back here. So,
right.
Give me a second. Go ahead. You guys keep going, though. I'll jump in, right?
Are you pausing recording? Or?
No. Yeah. Just go. I'll be really quick. And then,
he's not going far.
Yeah.
He probably has like a beer cooler like right by. I actually have my, this is so sad, I have my Gatorade and my beef jerky right by the
the devil thing, I think, might be in store for a comeback.
You think?
And I'll
so
say it's because I saw some people footage of them at the Republican National Convention.
Uh-huh.
And they were the folks who attended it. And they basically were people that even like the most stringent Republican person would be like, they really don't represent us kind of thing. And they were attending this thing, and they basically, there's people saying, okay, we're pretty sure that Obama has made a deal with the devil, and that's how he got there. And if we don't bring God and Jesus back into this country, nothing else matters. And my only concern my only concern in voting is to get God and Jesus back in the United States, because I don't care about the economy or anything else. I only care about making God and Jesus part of this country, or we are all doomed.
Wow.
And there was more than one person.
Were they holding signs, or were they being interviewed?
This one person went around and interviewed them, just because they found them. I mean, they obviously stuck out a little bit, but they were attending it. They had ticket. You know, they had purchased whatever you get to go to the convention. They were going, and they were kind of out there saying it. And they said, and the interviewer, at one point, the guy said the thing about him being, you know, like a deal with the devil, and then she's like, you know, that makes you sound crazy. And he's like, well, look who I'm talking to.
Okay,
And it's like, yeah, it's like, well, that's not helping your case, sir.
But, that's what we've talked about before, like how you hear people who are crazy like that, and you're like, ha ha ha, and you kind of laugh about. But then I don't know about you, but I always have this little weird, like maybe less than a percent part of my that goes, what if they're right? Yeah. I like to think about that. I mean, not saying like I like to think about it in like a paranoid way, but it's kind of like, wow, wouldn't it be funny if they were right?
Well, I guess they can, I'll buy them a Coke, but
yeah. Dinner is on me, sir.
I'm sorry, I was just wrong. I guess it's like, well, sorry, but there were the thing is, it always bothers me about it, is like I always think there's a lot more people that think that stuff who just don't say it.
I'm shocked and I've said this before. I might have even said it before in this podcast that I'm shocked about people that are so reasonable in every aspect of their lives and the things that they believe in. It's just crazy to me, you know. Like, just, I mean, so to me, like, you know, you believe this much in like religion and stuff, then well, you should believe in ghosts. If you believe in God and Jesus, then you should believe in ghosts and, you know, and the devil, I guess too. But a lot of people are...
The other thing with these folks is I'm thinking, they are the people who would say that that they're the people from the 80s. They're that same mentality that had the, you know, the preachers come on and say how all rock music is evil and how, yeah. And you know, that those, this, that mentality is still there. It's just been refocused into like politics. Now it's,
yeah,
the political view is the devil and they don't give a crap about the music part. They just assume that that's, it's almost like they concede the music front. They're like, well, all music's the devil's music. So unless, yeah, it's him, then it's, you know. But that attitude's still out there, and I do wonder at some point if people are gonna, somebody's gonna push your boundaries. It's like all that fake out that something happens on TV, you know.
Yeah.
You know, boob falls out, or somebody says a curse word, like, "Oh my God, they had a gay kiss on TV," and oh, we got to burn, everything's gone to hell. And it's like, though, that's, yeah, he's been redirected as to that. The Parents Television Council is still, they still do that kind of stuff. They'll say this show's inappropriate, and this music's bad, and this is this. They're still out there. They're just not as
vigilant.
I think maybe even they came around to the idea that some of these bands that have the crazy names and stuff are just marketing.
Well, it's like I told you that book that I remember from my high school, like the list of bands, like these bands are affiliated with Satan. You know, and later in life, like I worked for a booking company and dealt with a lot of those people, and that's not true. You know, they were just, I was like, oh, those are just some really nice guys who were friends in college, you know, and they made a band. And
they wanted to have a little thing to attract people in, and that was the thing.
Well, not even that. I mean, to say that the Dead Kennedys are associated with Satan is just dumb.
No, I mean they're the
Dead Kennedys are just like a really... It's to some people it's a very offensive name, but it doesn't have anything to do with Satan. It has to do with, like, you know, it was at the time like 80s politics and people feeling, you know, disenchanted about things. I mean, it had nothing to do with the devil. But
okay, I'm back.
How's your beer? What are you drinking anyhow? What are you...
Oh, well, I had the Oktoberfest from Marzen Lager. It was from Left Hand Brewery.
Okay.
So I had that. Earlier I had the St. Arnold Endeavor, which is an IPA. Okay. But I agree with you, John. I think it was just like, I think people read into the names a little bit differently. I think that's kind, yeah, of what we're finding out is that I think it's just in the names and the what's on the surface and like what people perceive when that name comes out, whether or not it's just like to get the gimmick up, you know, like Kiss, or to like, yeah, or to like, you know, what people who have some other agenda about either controlling other people, how they want, right, to like tell you. It's like you ever hear those wacky morning radio DJs. They always have that one guy who's like, "Here's hidden messages in this song," and then right before they play it, they tell you what to listen for, and then you actually make that connection because they already give you that hint. So I think it's a lot in the name. I think it's a lot in what's in the service, right, and not what people are willing to take the time to check out and see and actually like understand, like. Cause like what you're saying, like when you worked for that booking company, is like the guys didn't like bite the heads off of bats, you know, or anything like that.
But the interesting thing, and I don't know if you guys remember, and this is kind of this could be a further topic, is there were always these rumors, and there was this great network when we were younger, and I'm a little older than you guys, but you kind of understand. But there were all these rumors, and there was no internet, and there was no like message boards, like it just passed around, but there were these rumors that like you know, if you go to an Alice Cooper concert, he won't play. He'll throw live chickens into the crowd. If you don't kill him, he won't play. And there were all those weird – and you think about all those weird rumors, like, when you were a kid. Like, I was in seventh grade, and there was the rumor going on about Rod Stewart, and there was the one about the Beastie Boys were – the Beastie Boys were dead. And, you know, it's like, where did those come from? And that's – but the 80s is so strange when you think about that time when there's all, like – if a kid had a jean jacket and was into heavy metal or something, it's like, oh, he worships Satan. And you were scared of that guy, you know? And
yeah,
and really,
I mean, if
like,
he was tooling around town wearing a Killer Dwarves jean jacket.
And he looked like Bill Gates.
Yes.
Just to bring that back around to the gate, at one point...
Yeah, we gotta go to the gate. That's, yeah.
At one point in the gate, that kid... it's Terry. That's his name, Terry.
Terry, Terry.
Terry comes over and he's like, he's filming the other kid, and I'm blanking his name because he's not as interesting.
Glenn.
Yeah, Glenn. And he's filling Glenn in on the whole demon thing, and they're like, "Well, how do you know this?" He's like, "Well, I looked into it." And I was like, "How did you look into it?"
Okay, so
I got this one.
Go, because we really, we got to set it up from the beginning. We really have to.
Okay,
set it up.
So right.
I still have this gate.
So
this is one of my notes I wrote was that the gate did such a better job than Neon Maniacs did of setting up, because like every little explanation, there were some explanations, but that record, the part that I thought was kind of brilliant in its own way, is that the kid says, "My dad was out on business and got this record for me when he was in Europe." First of all, it's disturbing that he was buying devil records in Europe for his son to bring home to.
But surprisingly enough, especially in like Denmark and Sweden, I mean, there's really good black metal out there right now.
Oh yeah, that's the home of black metal.
Yeah.
There's that documentary, which I just want to keep putting over and want you guys to watch. But and then he says, these guys knew about this book, and that's how they wrote their lyrics. They did this one record, and they were all killed in a plane crash, which I thought was, like, awesome. I was, like, really...
Good origin.
Yeah, because it would have been really sad if it would have been, like... It actually would have been kind of funny if in the movie at one point, like, they open this hell gate opens, and then they're like, "Well, let's contact these guys." And then, like, there's some big, fat, old heavy metal dude answers the phone. He's like, you know, gives him the spell to close it or something. So it's better. You know, they're dead, and it's just mysterious. So I got to read you this, the description, because there is a gate, too.
Really?
And it's gate to return to the nightmare. And this is the description that's on IMDb.
I saw that. I was like, it doesn't look as cool as it looked what Troll 2 was to Troll. So,
but listen to this. It has to do with our buddy Terry, the Bill Gates Killer Dwarfs.
Yeah, because he's in that one. I've seen that movie.
It says, "When Terry's friend Glenn moved away, he left the gate to hell he discovered in his backyard unguarded. Now, 5 years later, teenage Terry returns to the scene and tries to summon the demons, this time to prevent his dad from losing his job."
Wow.
I must have seen part of it because I remember watching an older version of that kid.
Yeah, yeah, which is probably even worse than a younger version of that kid.
And that's what's great about the gate. The gate is really, you're right, John. I mean, and Tim, thanks for like bringing this up. It's like, it was a lot better than what I imagined it would end up being.
Because they
strung along the plot. The plot basically is like, lightning hits a tree, it burns down, there's a gate to hell underneath. And like, Stephen Dorff is like this dipshit kid who thinks, like any other kid in the 80s, that there's something more than what's really going on. And what's so awesome about this movie is, you're right, there's like scenes, one scene, like John, when you mentioned about how they do a great job of setting things up. It's like, I took a note when the kid got found that present that bought that rocket, which is...
Yeah.
We'll get into that in a second. Yeah, we'll get into that in a second, because I don't know how rockets can destroy demons, but especially model rockets. Anyway, he grabs, goes under his bed, or his parents' bed, or whatever, finds the present for him, and opens it up, and it's just like, no charge, whatever, super cool rocket thing. And he's like, "That's great," and he just throws it over his head. And they specifically film it falling into the crack in the bed. I'm like, oh, this must be important for later. And it actually was.
Right.
And it's stuff like that. It was great setup. I mean, the story was pretty good. But still, it was an 80s movie, and it was still pretty ridiculous. And I have to admit, Stephen Dorff got really annoying toward the end of that movie.
Oh, he did. Well, especially when he says, what does he say to the demon? Like, oh, God, I should have wrote that down. He said something like, when he shoots him, he says something like, you know, oh, God, like, you know, go back to hell. Or it was true. But you know what I like about 80s movies is that it's, that they don't do nowadays is the kids are the heroes. There's no, yeah. And you think about it now, like the current movies, it's always, there's an action hero. There's like a Jason Statham or someone. It's not like this kid. And I think
well,
that's why
I mean, there's that M. Night Shyamalan movie always had some kind of heroic kid character in it. Like the Swing Away one. What was the Alien one? Because the kid was very perceptive.
Signs.
And then Bruce Willis one, the one with Mr. Glass.
But they have adults. What is that sound?
Oh yeah, Sixth Sense. Yeah, that's right.
But they all have adults that are other figures. But you think about it, like this movie, like the Goonies and like.
Yeah,
the Gate and a lot of those 80 movies, it was all the kids in the adventures. So I think that, at least for me, like, you saw those and you're like, man, I want to go on adventures. I want to do stuff like that. And, you know, it's not like you're living like, oh, man, like watching someone else do it. You're like, yeah, I could do adventures, you know. And I don't know. I found that I don't know. The kids were annoying, but it was definitely and what was the deal with the guy who was trying to get with the sister? Like, he wasn't too disturbed driving around with a dead dog in the car?
Well, and then he was a douchebag, but then he was also nice enough to actually bury the dog into the gate and then fill the hole for it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, thanks. Thanks for doing the sacrifice, you idiot.
Well, he was trying, he does, why he chose to put it in the passenger seat, I guess he didn't have much of a trunk on his car, but.
I still would have put it in there. He was riding shotgun.
I tell you what, though, that was a great scene when Terry hugs his mom and it ends up being the fucking dead dog. That was amazing.
Why did she say I want you?
I don't know.
That was so creepy. Because she was like, I could get the whole thing about I love you, but then she's like, I need you. And I was like, oh, this is going somewhere where I do not want to see.
Into the gate and be a human sacrifice is what that.
But yeah, so that Terry kid who had, I guess his mom died or something.
And I wrote a note here, too, how I thought it was interesting that Stephen Dorff, when he was going to sleep and they were talking about the hole in the backyard and Terry, and his dad, like, totally throws Terry under the bus, and he's like, well, ever since Terry's mom died, he's been kind of weird, and basically saying he's kind of a piece of shit. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, why would you say that to a kid about? But then again, dad growing up, I had a friend named Mark Thornsterberg that I thought was great. My dad thought he was a piece of shit, and my dad said the great line to me: he goes, "Hey, John, even Hitler had friends."
Wow.
So I guess maybe that's an 80s thing too. It's like burying your friends, your son's friends. I don't know.
Well, Terry in the movie, that's how he found out, right? Because he listened to that fucking record, and that was one of the things that blew me away about the movie. You know, we talk about the devil, we talk about how the devil's in music and stuff like that, and the gate, I haven't seen any other movie that better represents it. Maybe,
yeah,
maybe actually In the Mouth of Madness would be a good second, but that's like a Stephen King novel in a Stephen King novel. But the kid is singing along to this metal song with his fucking killer dwarves. And all of a sudden, it kind of dawns on him that this is actually telling him how to, like, conjure up and get rid of the demons. And what's amazing is that he doesn't have, like, the Necronomicon, like, in The Evil Dead or anything like that. He just opens up the fucking liner notes of this album, and it tells him how to fucking defeat this monster. Right. And I'm just holy shit.
Well, and it was so great in that scene, too, because he puts the blanket over his head and he starts.
And you know what it is? It's an allegory, right? Because it's a rainbow blanket. So what they're really trying to say is that he's a homosexual.
And the gate is his butthole.
Yes, that's right. And little bees come out of it.
And little tiny clay minions run out of my butthole.
That when they break apart, they turn into white looking sperm things.
Those look like muscles to me. Like the little action.
Yeah.
I was all excited.
Well, my thing with him pulling the little record out there, and Emily answers, okay, that was fine, but then, like, he's like, well, I looked, because he tells Glenn, he's like, I looked at this stuff in the liner notes of my album, and I kind of figured this out, I looked into it, and he said, because it's, sometimes when the planets align in a certain way, it's right for, like, the gate to open, and he's like, so I checked it out, I'm like, did you go to the library? Where did you go check out Astro?
No, it was the liner notes of a black metal band.
There was those other liner notes. He didn't say, like, I checked this other album, or they had a picture of it on the other page. He's like, because it said in the album that if they line up right, it is. So I checked it out, and guess what the planets are doing right now? And it's like, that's a long way to go without the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, did you find this as a microfiche, you douchebag?
You could do it, but you had to go to, you had to bike to the library. Then it had to be open. And then you had to have somebody get him probably the microfiche.
And you had to explain to the librarian, who's very suspicious, why this young man is wanting to know about demons and games.
Yes, because back in the 80s, people
were very suspicious
about that. Yeah.
She's like, he has a killer dwarf's jacket. He's on a bike. He's up to no good. He probably has some firecrackers in his pocket.
And he's a goddamn ginger.
Goddamn ginges.
They have no spells anyway.
That part bothered me. I'm like, okay, I buy that you got all that from the album. I'll go with that. But I was just like, don't try this. I mean, I guess I shouldn't. I wouldn't complain about it. It's a nitpick, but I was like, so did you go look up a star map, or how did you come? Well, like, that's a big question to answer at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's funny because I remember when I was a kid and I was reading, I got the G.I. Joe comic, and that was the first time I ever heard about ninjas. It wasn't like it is now, where everyone knows what a ninja is. And I remember going to my librarian. I'm like, I want to find a book about these things called ninjas. And she looked at me like I was, well, I am, retarded. She was just like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, there's these ancient Asian, like, warriors. And she's like, yeah, I had no idea what you're talking about. So I can imagine, like, you go to the library and be like, I need to find out something about a porthole to hell opening up.
And planetary alignment.
And planetary alignment. And they would be like, why don't you just, don't you want to read the Encyclopedia Brown books? I mean, just go look at those.
Let's go find some Judy Blume novels.
But I want to say, like, one kind of nitpicky thing, but then, because I really felt pretty positive about the movie. I enjoyed it. It was a pretty good movie.
I really liked how you thought it was over and it wasn't, and they did it, like, three times.
Yeah, it was, and it wasn't boring. It moved along,
and they explained things as best they could within an hour and 25 minutes, which is fine.
One thing I don't understand, like, she was having the party, the sister was, and it was like a regular party. People were drinking and, you know, hanging out, and then, like, they cut to it later, and it's like the lights are dark, and they're telling scary stories, and they're doing, like, light as a feather and seance shit. Have you ever been to a party?
I've never been to a party like that. And then, like, that's just so creepy. That drove me crazy. It was like, this kid levitates and fucks up, like, half the furniture, and everyone, like, leaves and thinks it's okay. It's like, listen, okay. Okay, so, like...
Self-fired up.
I know. I think it's the beer. Actually, it is the beer. So, have you guys ever done this? Like, growing up? Like, I know in Kansas they have it, but there's also... I saw this video on either A&E or some debunking TV show, right? So here's... Okay, let me get this. Like, have you ever gone with, like, a group of kids, usually in high school, right? And you always go to, like, Devil Hill or Devil Road, right?
Or Stolt,
thank you. Yes, where you throw the bottle against the church and it doesn't, never breaks. Or
I didn't do that. I was like, no thanks.
No, yeah. And also, there's also like that hill. There's always that road where it's like you throw your car in neutral and it goes uphill and you think it's all eerie and like haunted. Have you guys done that? Have you guys, like, there's a place.
People say they've done it. I just have never done it.
I've done that. I've done that once before in high school. And everybody did it, and they went uphill. And I'm like, wow, that's really creepy, right? In high school, that creeped me out, right? So, like, okay, fast forward to, like, you know, a couple years ago. Oh, my God. Okay, so it was this Texas public television show, which really is the devil's work. But it was, like, this guy did him with his, like, basset hound buddy, like, would go around the area here in Austin and around the town and around the areas. And he would go to different places and he would, like, you know, visit places. And I remember seeing this one bit where he went to this one of these purported, like, Devil Hills. And the reason they call them Devil Hills is because gravity doesn't make any sense and your car rolls uphill when it shouldn't. And strange things and mystical things are afoot. So the guy goes and he does this, right? So he does it and he goes uphill. And then all of a sudden he's like, let me get some science on you. But it was, like, Texan. So it was like, well, let me all explain it to y'all here nice and kindly. So it was like, what happened is that, okay, with these Devil Hills and with, like, with, like, how they work, you don't get a good picture. They're usually in areas where you don't get a good picture of the horizon, right? So you don't, you see it in such a way that your equilibrium is a little off. So you perceive as something being going uphill, when really it might be going downhill because you don't have the horizon to balance your like eyesight off against. So when you hear those kind of stories and stuff like that, what's really happening is probably something like that. That's today. Back in high school, I was like, holy shit, this is haunted and this is the devil's work.
Well, I have to tell you, like, that party reminded me of a story. I don't know if my sister will ever listen to this, but I think my nephews may. So this will probably come back and haunt me. When we were, I don't know how old I was, but they got a Ouija board.
Oh, God.
And it was
there's Ouija a horror movie now with that.
Oh, no, well, there's Witch Board, remember, what Tawny contained. They did, like, four or five of those. They're really horrible. But they had a Ouija board that Parker Brothers actually made. And I remember, I think I was, like, seventh grade or something, and they were like, oh, yeah, it's really creepy. It's really – I'm like, how evil and, you know, crazy can something be if it was made by Parker Brothers? This is – I mean, even when I was 12, I'm like, this is my ass.
John.
This,
John.
Yeah?
Monopoly.
That's all I gotta say.
That's it.
Brothers. One percenters.
Monopoly.
They train you how to be one percenters. That's evil.
Obviously, it didn't take with me, sadly.
I always liked the railroad, so I fucking lost every game.
Oh, I'm terrible at Monopoly, but I just remember my sister, we were in the basement, and we had some, I think it was one of our friends, or one of her friends, and, like, they were like, okay, let's do it, let's be really quiet. And I remember, like, they lit these candles, and, like, my sister had her eyes closed, and they were all serious. I just remember looking at them, and we're like, what a bunch of maroons.
Sam, did you fart?
No, I was just like, I mean, who knows if I would have, but, I mean, but it was just funny, because, like, come on.
We don't do that. Nobody does that anymore now these days, right? These little fake seances.
I don't think the party like she was having would turn into that party.
No, because the parties today would just be a can of Four Loko and then somebody's fucking somebody in front of everybody.
Well, but have you guys ever heard of a party where it turned like that? Where it was like, you're having a good time, then it was, hey, let's turn off the lights and tell stories.
No.
It's one or the other. It was really odd. That I didn't like that much.
Wow, what happened? I know, we started talking about Tiny Contain and it went bad. Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Did I drop out or who dropped out? That's three, Tim. Three.
That was appropriate, though.
That might have been me. I don't know. But we started talking about the devil, and now he's trying to fuck with us. That's all I got to say.
Last week it was Sammy Hagar. This week it's Beelzebub.
The devil. So, the devil inside, indeed. Although that's in this.
No, I'm just saying, I've never been to a party like that where it changed.
What?
Huh?
What happened to John?
Ooh, John went by. Hey, what's up? So, rest assured, we have the other stuff saved, so that's good. Fix it in post!
Fix it in post.
Awooga.
So what were you saying?
No, I was just saying that as far as I had never been to a party when I was younger, and where there was too dramatically. It's either like kind of silly kid stuff, or it's drinking cavorting. And so, I don't understand.
They were fucking.
Well, there's play dates going on here. And someone just opened the door and put a cat in here. So I had to do an old man thing. I had a giant stick to push the door shut so I could keep talking.
It's awesome.
It's my pushing stick. It's my door stick. But I enjoyed doing the I love the workman thing when that was what to me was the gold nugget of the
what?
Movie.
So I didn't catch that. What? Like, I saw him show up in the wall, but how did that happen?
Well, Terry told Glenn that when their house was built, that a worker died, and
walled them in.
Yeah, so they wouldn't get in trouble. So when everything was going crazy, then it's basically kind of like in Ghostbusters when you would think something and it would appear, and that's where the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man kind of appeared.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of one of those things where, like, the demon was trying to, like, prey on his fears of what he was scared of, and he had thought about that, you know, or he had, by them talking about it, made it so, in a sense, and, like, created it.
Wow.
So my idea was that, you know how, I don't know if you guys are familiar, but, like, Dynamite Comics does a lot of stuff from movies, like the Reanimator comics and stuff like that. I would love to see, like, a Workman versus the Tall Man from Phantasm would be, like, a really good series.
Oh, that would be pretty cool.
Because they're both kind of those... Yeah,
I think those characters would probably kill him.
Although that silver ball from the Tall Man would just cut through the Workman, and then he would just blow apart into these little demon thingies.
Yeah, but then the little demon thingies would be harder to fight. So
yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, it could be an interesting fight. It could definitely...
It's the next Freddy versus Jason.
It'd be better, though. It'd be 10 minutes.
So then help me out with the whole fascination with, what is it, electric rockets? Bottle rockets? What kind of rockets
are they? Oh, no. I used to do those rockets.
Those are model rockets.
I did them. There was, like, 6 months of my life where I was interested in them as a kid, and then I stopped.
Another dad story. I really got into those in school. That was one of our projects, and they have those little cylinder. I don't remember what, it's like sulfur or something that it's on that fuse, and you would hook it to a car battery and launch it. Like, you would have the little charge that would. But I blew my dad's hat off with a rocket.
How'd that happen?
Well. So my dad was like, there's like an on and an off switch on it, and he was going, because you had to hook up the little things to the bottom of the rocket to launch it. And so he's like, is it on the off position? I'm like, yeah, it's on the off position. Are you sure? Yeah, it's on the off position. Yeah. So he goes down there, he's standing over it, and he hooks it up, and as soon as he hooks it up, the rocket goes, and just goes straight up and just takes his hat right off. Falls back on his ass and just comes running over to me and just chews me out. He was so mad. I really thought it was off.
Not 50 Shades of Grey chews you out, right?
No. No, that's a later story. But, it was so funny that the little kid that Glenn was so jazzed about rockets, like later that when the sister finally like buys him the rocket and they shoot it, he's like, yeah, that's the greatest. I'm like, man, I loved when it would go in the air, but they were so hard to find.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not that exciting, but well, that kid, like, everything's rockets.
Well, what threw me for a loop is that the kid was obviously into it. I didn't know his sister was, because in that scene, she somehow had a matching rocket jacket like he did.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Did you guys see by the way, when they went down the stairs, did you see the family pic where they were all bloody except for him?
Yes.
Yeah. That was creepy.
And then I thought when the dad came and picked him up by the throat and he smushed his head.
That was kind of gross, too.
That was kind of gross for that movie.
Because today it would be all CG, right? And
yeah,
it would be as, like, real as that. Ugh.
It was really goopy looking. It was nasty. Yeah.
And so what I don't get is what secret sauce are in model rockets that allows you to burn a 30-foot tall goblin with 3 arms or 6 arms.
And well, the other thing is, too, why did the goblin not kill him the first time? It kind of patted him on the head and set him down.
Is it because out of the blue he had this kind of Evil Dead 2 eyeball on his hand that showed up out of nowhere? They never explained that.
No.
I think it's because he's the kid who, like, released him, so he was like, yeah, you're not worth it, so I'm
like, was he the gatekeeper?
I don't know if he's the gatekeeper, but, like, he was the little... He was basically... They tried to build one of those little... The demon from that book that he was looking at from the album.
Yeah.
But when he looked out his window, that thing was just pumping out, like, devil gas.
Yeah.
Just like Hokey.
Exactly.
And so I think he was like, well, there's no reason to... I got my two sacrifices, so they're all free, so...
Right. Well, yeah, because the kid's in hell on earth, kind of.
I'll just put an eyeball in this kid's hand and mess with his head, so that's...
Yeah, and then he files him, and then he fires the one thing that can actually kill him, and it's a goddamn model rocket.
And but, then there's all that footage of fireworks.
Yeah, so that's it's like they're about ready to break out into the Nub Dub song or something.
Well, I think their explanation was that the only way it could be taken down once you had opened the gate was it had to be something that was light and love, and so he had the rocket that was a gift from his parents.
Oh, man. Okay, that's...
Lame. I changed my mind. I hate this movie.
That's what
that it is amazing.
He had a rocket that's the light, and then the love was because it was from his sister, or he gave it to his sister.
Whatever. Why didn't he just paint some rainbows out of the bag?
The love was the semen in the rocket.
Oh, man. He should have shot it up his butt.
That's the PG-13 version. They don't show that part.
But this was PG, right?
This is PG-13.
Oh, it was 13. Okay.
Because there's a couple parts that if you were watching that like in year 7, that would freak you out.
Yeah. Oh, no. It definitely
scared me a little bit when I used to watch it. Like, especially when they would go, "You burn, burn." That was...
Yeah. Yeah. I like that he called, too.
I just want to say, when I say fag, I say it affectionately. Like, I really like it.
Oh, that scene was hilarious. I actually rewound that, or moved this scene back when he did that, because that was just such a great, he just stops in the kitchen and looks at that kid.
I know. It was like, and then he starts, it was like the one comeback line. That was the comeback line of the 80s, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But
it doesn't matter much anymore nowadays, does it?
No.
The sister's friend who was kind of always nasty and mean to him for, I don't know why. The two sisters, but they were both kind of bitchy to him. And then, like, they're like, "Why don't you go change your pampers?" He's like, "Why don't you join the circus?" It's like, okay, that's what you got?
Considering that he's, like, 6 or 7 years younger, I marveled at how he kind of held his ground.
He held his ground, exactly. I thought he did okay.
Is what was the cereal he's eating? Because it looked like cat chow.
it looked like cat litter.
But here's my other one. Why did the girl who was teaching him how to do light as a feather, you remember the kind of dorky when she was never in except for in the party scene? Why was she wearing a wedding ring?
Oh, well, I didn't catch
her. Adult and got cast as a teenager.
No, she but looks, she doesn't.
She looks like a female version of Terry too.
Kind of, yeah, but look, she has a wedding ring on.
Maybe she inadvertently put it on the wrong finger.
I don't know. I just saw that. That's in my notes. It's like,
wedding ring? I saw it. It would have bothered me, too. But.
It didn't really bother me, but I was just kind of like, huh?
I was bothered by the cereal, and the boyfriend takes the cereal from the kid and eats it. And I'm like, first of all, it looks like cat chow. Secondly, you're just going to steal the kid's cereal, really?
Yeah.
You're trying to get his sister, and you're going to be like, yeah, fuck your brother. I'm going to eat his cereal.
Yeah, he just was a blatant dick.
Like, and the other thing I don't get is they had the little pitcher of milk for the cereal, like, on the table with he's in the cereal, and there's a separate pitcher for the milk. It's like, I always just got the milk container out of the fridge and put it on my cereal, and you put the milk back in. I didn't have a separate...
Maybe it was breast milk.
Oh, you babe. But so overall, like, I mean, you guys enjoyed it then. I mean, you liked the movie.
I liked it. You know what was really great, and I remember seeing it as a kid. I remembered it only when I was watching it like Friday night, right? But I think what was really great is that it completely encapsulates what we were talking about with how the devil is in the music and how devil's not mentioned anymore. It was a perfect example of like how the devil was used back in the 80s and how it's not exactly used today.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, and I just think now that music just isn't considered like really very, like, it's not, first of all, it's not very interesting, but it's, you know, it's just...
Well, here's what I think happened. I think they switched from devil to terrorists is what I think happened.
Ooh, that's a good theory too, though.
Yeah.
Now it's just like the terrorists, people who actually are living on this planet that are trying to get you, and you don't know how they're going to get you, but they're going to get you.
Well, the terrorists and, in some cases, intellectuals are also the source of evil, because they're debunking your...
Intellectuals, people with rational thought.
and business leaders and corporations are trying to kill you, too.
That's the other one. That's the boogeyman for the other side. So.
Yeah, there's everybody's got their boogeyman. So then the boogeyman of the 80s was the devil, and now that's not like no longer there. I kind of miss it, actually. I thought it's kind of cool. It's a good trope.
It's just like how the Russians used to always be the bad guys.
Yeah.
Russians aren't near as scary as terrorists.
No.
The Russians aren't as scary as terrorists?
I don't think so. I mean, it was kind of like the thing with the Russians. Yeah. They'd do those things where it'd be like, oh, they're all right once we show them that we have blue jeans and Pizza Hut.
Right. once they try a Big Mac, they're putty in our hands.
Well, they won't go back.
Which is true. I do kind of want a Big Mac right now.
You know, speaking of the 80s, that was the burger of the 80s. I kind of want one right now, too.
Do you guys remember in the 80s when they had the I want to say it was the McDLT that kept the hot side hot and the cool side cool?
Yep.
Oh,
no,
that
I
burger
remember
was so
that.
It was like a weird styrofoam box.
And you would take it, open it, and you'd flip it shut, and it would make the burger for you.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It had the bun on one side and like the lettuce, tomato, and the other stuff on the other side, and then you'd get home, and you'd pop the lid off, and you would just close the bottom half, and it made your burger, and it was supposed to be all fresh. And
it was good.
That's crazy.
So now the question is, when you guys watched this, did you like miss the 80s and did you reminisce fondly? Because I really did. It really made me, like, just the way, like, the rooms looked and when he was, like, going through the toys and stuff. It's just like, man, I miss movies like this, and I miss the way, I don't know, it just had a feel to it.
It was a pretty simple story, right? There wasn't anything really complicated. It looked like it was a suburban home out in the middle of nowhere. Uh-huh. And it was, like, encapsulated in this, like, homely, almost American dream-like place. And it was like they're just kind of living their lives. It was kind of like, it was very simple and matter-of-fact. And I think that's the thing that I miss from that, especially in movies, is, like, nowadays everything has to have some kind of super complicated twist. And it's always a pain in the ass because you expect it and then you see it and it's like, oh, God.
I also miss I just miss being that age, and when you had sleepovers and you'd read comic books and you'd tell rumors and talk shit.
Before the internet, where you would just look up porn and masturbate all the time.
Or no, but even when they were going through and they found the gun and I remember like being at your friend's house and like their parents are out of town and like you're snooping through their stuff. You know, I mean, just there's, I don't know. There's
oh my God, I slept over. I don't know, Tim. Do you remember Jeff Coogler? Maybe.
I don't know if I do or not.
He might have been at our high school first. So I hung out with him a little bit, and we always did this thing in the playground in middle school where we were the bushwhackers, and I was always the head butter, and he was always the guy that ran, and we'd always bushwhack people like in wrestling. And we would do some sleepovers and play Nintendo games and shit like that, you know? And that's kind of what it reminded me of with the gate, right, was sleeping over, was like sleeping over. Hey, get those cats in order.
Did you guys hear that?
What was that?
It made me play it back. I think I threw out the second one. I just tried. Ooh.
That was not a cat.
Well, the chair, I scooched the chair back. Uh-huh. And then I farted into my wing.
I heard it. It sounded like electric, like shock. It was like brrr.
Good. It was heard then.
Awesome.
Well, the people come to pick up their kids. I'm like being very quiet, and I'm like they're gonna open the door, and I'm gonna be bent over my butt right by my
So anyway,
but so you had a sleepover with this guy, Jeff Coogler?
And that's what this kind of was like. That it kind of reminded me that we would just hang out and like play some Nintendo and sleep over and stuff. But the one thing is that his mom was a big doll collector, and she had one room in the house that was all of these dolls, all these different dolls, and they're all like set up and they're all like standing there, and it seemed like they're all staring at the doorway. I'll never forget that, because that was some good old-fashioned 80s nightmare right there with all these fucking dolls. And always, because she was kind of a bitch, too. And it was like, why the fuck nobody go into this room? And it's like these fucking hundreds.
Oh, she didn't want anyone in there.
No. And it was
all these
fucking dolls. And they're all staring at the front door. And I was like, dude, I just want to play Nintendo and hang out with this guy who thinks he's Crocodile Dundee. And it was like, Oh man, so I
he
mean,
he liked Crocodile Dundee.
He loved Crocodile Dundee. And
I had a friend who loved the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And when that movie came out, he was. I mean, we were actually in high school. And that
I
movie
was
came
so
out.
Disappointed in that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it for a million years. I just passed
to see it early, and I was all psyched to see it, and I was just, oh, I wanted to die.
By the way, Tim, I bought some 15-cent comics at the Labor Day sale today, and I bought a whole bunch of Savage Dragon, like the star, and some of
oh,
them
nice.
Were with the Ninja Turtles. So
nice.
I have to tell you if they're any good, yeah. So even if they're not good, I got bag and board. That's worth 15 cents.
So I'm interested in the Tim's doll story now that I told about my
doll story.
Yeah, what's your doll story?
It's my mom that has dolls out the yin yang.
Oh, wow.
She still does. I mean, my mom's downstairs. It looks like a doll store. Tim, you've been there, haven't you?
Yeah, it's like a little doll show. Not a showcase. They are organized to a freaking T.
Yeah, it's but, nice. Yeah. She's just nice. But it's there's two spare rooms. There's a snowman room that has like all kinds of. I stay in the snowman room usually. It has all these snow globes and snowmen. And then their other room, it has like all these dolls like on the shelf. But she's got a couple dolls that are like child size, and they're right. And my mom will sometimes she'll make a joke like she's like if I sleep in that room she'll just be like, all right, she's like, well, hopefully those dolls won't come to life in the middle of the night and come and get you.
It's like,
I'm a grown man and it's still kind of scary.
I don't like eyes looking at me like that. I just want those things.
Well, you know, I could still masturbate in there. It's not a problem.
I was gonna say, when you're not around, I bet your folks go down there and get freaky and role play and stuff. And
that's my soul dying.
I mean, think about it. You know, you just put on the 45 of Frosty the Snowman and go to town in the snowman room.
I guess it is the safe, non-creepy Craigslist way of having people watch you fuck.
Yeah, that's true. You can knock the head around a little to get they can make sure the eyes blink, but that's about it, right?
It's like a compromise between two people. Like, one person really wants them to watch them have sex, and the other one really doesn't want to. So they're trying to be a good partner. They're like, can we get some mannequins or dolls or something and just set those up? Sure, that'll work, you know.
Good enough for me. Bend over.
Good enough for any port in the storm.
You know what's awesome is that I've never been there. Both of you guys have, so I'm not as scarred after this as you guys will be.
Oh no, I'm not that scarred. It doesn't really bother me. It's not like that.
It's just I would be creeped out regardless. If there were like a doll in a room where it was and it's staring at me, I would be a little.
Tim is a little more, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but Tim's a little more. Smart and sensitive about things, where I'm just kind of retarded.
There's certain things I'm just like, gonna be like, I don't believe in a lot of stuff, but I'm also not gonna do a Ouija board.
Oh, I do Ouija board, but you know what? One Hokey, Tim and I were talking about one thing that we would not do, and this is so ridiculous because I laugh at tornadoes and plane turbulence, and I kind of have the gallows humor. But I told them one I will not do is the saying, looking in the mirror and saying Bloody Mary three times. I will not do it.
Let me ask you, will you look in the mirror and say Candyman three times?
No, would not do it. No,
nope,
not.
Won't do it either.
But everything else, pretty much, I'm like, whatever. I mean, I've been to Stoll. I mean, I've been in that church.
Yeah, I've been around there because I've been with some people who've tried to throw some bottles at it and then nothing really happened.
Yeah, I mean, well, that always seemed like a dumb one to me because, like, you throw a bottle, guess what happens? It usually breaks.
Yeah.
You know? But by the way, that's a really great EP by Urge Overkill. They did the Stoll EP. When they were on tour with Nirvana, they heard about Stoll and they drove out there and checked it out, Nirvana and all those guys. And they took pictures and they made an EP and it's called the Stoll EP. It's really good.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
If you ever get a chance to, yeah, I love it. It's one of my favorite. I'm kind of a big EP. That's another thing they don't really do these days is little EPs, little 4 or 5 song gimmicks. But no, I like the Gate. I'm kind of wanting to see the Gate too, because especially Terry.
I kind of want to see it as well. And you know what, John? When you say Terry, now I think of your friend Terry.
Oh, which you know what? He's actually commented on photos and stuff on Facebook, so maybe he's reading this. So that guy would be a fun person to have on at some point because he has a Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre tattoo.
Nice.
Yeah,
yeah. And they're making Hollywood or some companies making a Texas Chainsaw 3D movie that's coming out. That's actually going to be like fast forward into the future. It's all continuity and something that's current. Like check it out on IMDb. I guess they're making another Texas Chainsaw, but it's called Texas Chainsaw 3D, and it's like some lady who was a part of the family inherited the farm, and she goes there to check it out on a road trip with her friends, and then that's how shit hits the fan.
Oh, but she's a family member.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
so
kind of a nice twist. I kind of like that.
So that's pretty cool.
Well, do you guys feel like we've covered the devil in the 80s
enough? I mean, good treatment.
Hey, so real quick,
uh-huh.
What I ended up doing... while I got a beer, I went and took a picture of that reef and I put it on.
I saw it. I just clicked on it open.
On the Gonzo Guys page. So go to facebook.com/gonzoguys, one word, and look at that reef and tell me, like, what the hell is that? That's a black reef. I think it's a spider and I think that's a raven in the reef too. I don't know if it's a joke, but can you guys help me out with that?
Is this actually at where you?
I took one live? Step. I took one step out of my door and took a picture of the neighbor's door.
It's a black widow, and it's but what's so disturbing about it is that it's not.
Halloween.
It doesn't. Well, no, it's close to Halloween, but if they had other Halloween stuff around it, I would think that's what it was for. Are they goth people? Have you seen these people?
They wear a lot of black, but they're also kind of orca fat too. So.
That's the best kind of goth.
That's right. So that's sloth goth right there.
Sloth goth. That's another category. Sloth, like, sloth goth.
I'm thinking if you've seen them and they wear black, I'd say that's their deal. They're probably like Wicca or...
I don't know. Because part of me is like, this is kind of a joke, but it's Labor Day and not Halloween. So I'm like, well, I mean, what are they really doing?
You need to befriend them.
Yeah, well, sure. All right, and then we'll do levitation exercises in our apartment.
And then you can open a gate to hell back by the drainage pond.
Yes, well, hold on. Can you guys have any good resources for model rockets?
You could know what you could do.
Actually, my dad does, but he in his hat.
You could launch a die-cast General Lee into the demon.
Oh, my God. Oh. Yeah, so I wasn't joking around when I saw that, and I literally just saw it walking in, getting ready for the show. So it was like, wow, this perfectly fits. I think it's serious. I don't think they're trying to joke around. I think I kind of want to think they're fucking with people, but I don't know. I mean,
I think it's merit for reconnaissance.
What about, like, just going and knocking on their door and asking them and say, where did you get this wonderful thing?
I don't want to have to drink goat's blood, okay?
It's not that bad.
Oh.
I mean...
I think, yeah, this merits further reconnaissance on your part.
Yeah, I definitely think.
I'll have to check it out. I'll have to report back.
Put on your clothes, go knock on the door, ask for borrow something, and get a look around the place.
Hey, do you guys have any pentagrams I can borrow?
Do you have any metal shirts? Do you have any heavy metal shirts?
I don't think I do, actually.
I don't really think I do either.
I have a fuck y'all, I'm from Texas shirt. That's the closest.
Ah. Well, I would say if you guys get a chance this week to watch that Until the Light Takes Us documentary about black metal in Norway. Harmony Korine is listed as a person in the movie.
That's why I know it.
But he's not. I haven't seen him in it yet.
No, he's not. I know it because I read it through one of his one of the things when I was looking up Trash Humpers and those other things,
which I still haven't seen.
Do you still have the copy of it?
No, I don't have a copy of it. I'll
send it to you.
So that's a pretty good time. So what are we gonna do for next time? Since we're just kind of doing this on the fly anyway, let's figure out what we're gonna do next time.
I like your idea, Hokie, of the scams email as a section.
Oh, yeah. I took a snapshot. I got to show you this. I'll show you these guys. That's a good idea because, like, I took a screenshot of my spam email folder, and what really, like, inspired me was this. Let me pull it up really quick. I'll give another teaser. What did I tease earlier? I forgot. Blanche Knott. So
yeah.
I teased the... The Truly Tasteless Jokes, and we really have to get that movie in the internet before we really talk about that.
I could also send around another feature film.
That could also work as well. But
there's a certain film that I received this last summer that. There's a movie that a certain person from California gave me, the one word title.
What?
Interesting.
It's called Fart.
Oh gosh! You know what? My nephews asked me that. They're like, "Did you guys talk about Fart the movie?"
Oh, okay. So I also have this book. I gotta find it. It's called Uncle Mike's Fart Book, where they document different types of farts.
And then
I have this book still. It's Uncle Mike's Fart Book.
Uncle Mike. It must have been written by my cousin Matthew.
I don't know.
My dad's name is Mike.
So I don't know if we could really fill. Well, we could do a fart.
Yeah, we could do scams and farts.
Scams and farts.
Sounds like there you go. Ding, ding,
so the screenshot it took and what really sold me and like kind of like clicked me on was like the spam email. I was checking my. You know how like you get spam email and some shit gets into your spam that shouldn't be spam. So like every once in a while I check it, right, just to make sure I'm not missing anything, right? So like I check my spam email folder and I look at it and I. The number one, the first email, the most recent email, was this email from somebody with the name of Enlarge with Free Sample, and the subject was ass rimming the easy way. So I was like, I gotta talk about this. So
I you know what? I think they sent me one too.
spoiler alert, a lot of my spam emails is about penis pills. So
it's funny because I'm looking through because I've been copying. I have a whole Word program that's just called scams. I think that's a good teaser because I seem to be getting a lot for some reason from England currently. and it's telling me a lot about Great Britain, £14 million that I'm due in sterling, you know, pound. And I also have some of the other ones, so I definitely think that
speaking of England, did you guys watch the new Doctor Who or not? Did you guys watch it?
Oh no, I haven't watched. I started watching just a random old Patrick Troughton Doctor Who, like The Mind Robber, last night.
That's a good one.
I started getting
crazy toward the end. I guess,
well, it's like I love Jamie. Jamie's probably my favorite sidekick.
Because that's because he's like fuck logic. I'm just gonna blow shit up. That's Jamie in a nutshell.
And he's got it killed, and he just I love.
So Jamie. We'll talk quote unquote offline after we get the recording. if you guys want to watch the new one, I think I got a good way to do it. So
okay. But yeah, I think if you can get some way that Hoagie can see Fart the movie
there is some way that can happen.
I don't know if
you haven't seen it.
Well, there's two versions of it, but I definitely think the next one would be good with farts and scams. Oh, that sounds fun.
Hey, you want some breaking news in this podcast?
What's that?
Sure.
Breaking wind news?
Well, not so much. What's his name? Michael Clark Duncan died.
Whoa! What?
The Green Mile actor is hospitalized and suffering a heart attack in July, dies at 54.
Ooh, that's too bad.
Wow, did he do a deal with the devil?
Ooh, I don't think
no.
so.
I think he's just... Maybe he was the guy who tuned the guitar. Robert Johnston. He was the only funny part in the Underground Comedy movie.
I was going to bring up the Underground Comedy movie.
He was the only bright spot in that pile of dung.
Was that that's the same movie where necrophilia was
Dawn of the Dead. Oh god,
that movie's just a whole different kind of wrong. Oh, I don't even know if I still own that. I might have made Andy take them both.
You want to talk about having something evil in your house and wanting that out?
It's the Underground Comedy movie.
Yeah, get that out of your house.
And good old Vince Offer, he ended up doing infomercials and then beating up prostitutes. That's right.
Yeah.
Damn wow.
That guy is pretty much Satan incarnate. You know, from the underground comedy movie to infomercials, that pretty much explains it all right there.
But I have to say that ShamWow was pretty good, though.
ShamWow was pretty funny.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good product.
So Michael Clark Duncan died. So we're agreed that he didn't do a deal with the devil.
No, I don't think so.
No.
He always struck me as a very sweet man.
Especially in the Underground Comedy movie.
Yeah, I'm a virgin.
Oh, he did that scene with that one guy with a stand-up. Yeah.
Yeah, Ant. Yeah, it was actually kind of the funniest scene in there. But yeah. He's like threatening, "Ooh, I like it rough," and he's like, "I tell you, I'm a motherfucking virgin." Yeah, so he's a gay virgin. It's so funny.
Well, I guess we're dedicating this epidose to Michael Clark Duncan and the underground comedy movie.
Oh no, let's just say Michael Duncan.
He doesn't need to be tied to that.
Yeah. Let's say for the Green Mile, for his gentle giant in the green role.
In the whole 6 yards. I only really wish they would have popped a cap in Matthew Perry's head.
Oh, but remember you get to see Amanda Peet naked in that. Sorry, that's the pervert coming out. That was the best part of that movie. Yes, it was.
I'm not.
That movie was terrible, but I heard about that scene and I got it from the library.
So you intentionally got a movie from the public library to see some titties.
I saw it there, and it was funny too because someone goes, "How's that movie?" I don't know. Went directly to that scene, and that was it. Then I'm like,
I watched a very small segment of that movie.
Awesome. There's movies like that I own. They're like, is that movie any good? I don't know.
There's some guys I could pull in. Like I mentioned, Rod and Jolly before that pretty much have a wealth of knowledge of. They're kind of like the human Mr. Skins, where they know.
I'm trying to downplay it a little bit.
You're trying to downplay.
I'm pretty
embrace
bad
it too.
To,
hey, John, embrace it.
Yeah. It's this guy, like, I just imagine, like, an ear up to the door, and they're like, what is he doing in there? And he's talking about, you know, bad skin play. But I definitely want to do a theme of that at some point, too, like a show about, you know, just like the 80s, like the Cinemax After Dark and movies like that we saw as a kid.
Hey, and Joe Bob Briggs Drive-In.
I have a book for you, a Joe Bob's Briggs book that I'm sending to you. It's an old paperback book.
I might have a Joe Bob Briggs book. We'll have to like talk offline about that.
Yeah. But I
have one of his where he wrote a lot of movie reviews. I have a copy of that.
This is reprints of his old column that he wrote.
Yes. That's a whole other. So scams and farts, and then the 80s skin flicks. We really talked a lot about the 80s, which is fine because. You know, the 80s were great, and then it's right before the advent of the internet where you can just get everything online on the internet.
Yeah,
The 90s was kind of like, it was like burgeoning into that and embracing it, and the 2000s were like matured. But the 1980s is where things were so technology advanced, but just not quite there, where you had actually stories of the devil that made more sense than like fucking terrorists and a network of underground things. That's what made the 80s great. And I'd love to do like 80s skin flicks. Like, dude, we could.
Oh yeah.
We could spend a whole 3 hours on Andy Sidaris movies alone.
Oh well, I bought that five disc set with like Hard Ticket to Hawaii, Malibu Express, and all those.
I have that as well. That might have to
They're so good. Thing. They're really good.
And they're really cheap because they're at half price books.
Yeah, I got it. It's called like Guns and G-Strings.
That's right.
Yeah. You both own that collection.
Best $6.99 I have ever spent in my life. It was really good. I didn't get around to talking about VHS, but I highly recommend it. I don't know if you guys are familiar. It's kind of getting a lot of hype on the internet, you can actually watch it on demand.
So it's on demand, and it's basically like people move into a house and they find like VHS tapes in the attic, and it turns out
No, it's actually the story is these kind of hooligans are hired from some guy to break into a house and steal a tape for him. And so then they break into this house and they find this dead body, and then they find this room that's just full of all these tapes. And then it's five short stories, and the short stories are the tapes that they've found. They're going through trying to find this one tape.
Oh wow!
And they're all really scared, and they're all shot like first person, and so it's like a found footage kind of. It's all real grainy and choppy.
But it was
fantastic. I was not disappointed.
Incantations or any references to the devil in that movie?
Well, I don't want to ruin anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. No, because it's such a wonderful ride. like through the movie. It's not, to me, it wasn't that scary. I mean, it was scary. It wasn't like I was really, really scared, but it was like, I had no idea. Like, I don't know where this is going. And it was a really great feeling to watch something and just go, I don't know. You know, it was like, beats the hell out of me where this is going. And I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but it's going to be in theaters October 5th, but probably pretty limited. But I imagine that Austin would definitely have it in October 5th. But it's on demand. It costs $9.99 to rent, but it's really
theatrical on demand thing that they do.
Yeah. But it's doing. I think it's getting a lot of hype. But it's
really, you're probably getting it off Amazon too for the same deal where you pay extra money to see it.
Yeah. It's good. It's really good. I'm scared to talk about it because I don't want to ruin it for anyone because I thought it was so good. But so anyway, I guess that's it kind of could tie in the devil in parts, but I can't wait because there's an observation that I'm like really wanting to share with somebody, but then but I can't. So I don't want to ruin it. So anyways, so I guess
we have a song out on.
I don't know, Tim. You seem to be pretty good at picking.
I think this was mentioned. Let me see if this will work here.
Some death metal.
Oh well, yeah. You guys can. I'm not doing an ad. Screw that. Let's try this one.
Judas Priest. Yeah,
you gotta go with Judas Priest.
We never talked about Judas
Priest. Oh, yeah, we'll get back to him.
We did.
We talked about Judas Priest. Yeah, a little bit,
the documentary with the guy shooting himself in the face.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm retarded. I was possessed earlier. Alright, so we'll go on that, man. Hey, guys. Thanks.
Good time.
With the blood red sky. Y'all had a dream.
The small